May 2012 FPOM. Welcome.
Frost morning.
The East Coast didn't have any winter, and they also could
have high temperatures.
Strange La Nina.
No, but it's not just the West Coast of the United States. It seems to be East Coast.
Yeah, it affects people on the other side.
I've been paying a little bit of attention, and I've been spending some time on the East Coast. So I remember just a few years ago, everything was in reverse. We had warmer winters, and now they have warmer winters. It's just kind of weird. It could be cyclical, you know.
Oh, most of them are stupid. Well, I brought numbers.
Good to see you also.
Yeah, but I mean, there is some long-term trend.
I brought numbers.
Like 10 years.
09, 10, 11.
Almost improved. There are.
Let's just do it in
short.
Well, we're holding them, too.
I'm really glad.
We're delaying them.
I'm going to wait. Last year it was the summer, which was the problem.
I didn't realize we were that high.
You ready to stay awake?
Yeah. It was your birthday.
Tammy made cake.
That is higher than annual possibly. And this is higher than I calculated. Some people think it's kind of conservative. In terms of real numbers, but comparison. Last year, entire year, we had estimated 10 million. And this year we already have 5 million. We don't know how much better.
That's right.
I think it's a very important graph to see because
It is.
Lots of things.
Last year we had a late adult. It was pretty much average.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. It's a couple of degrees.
All right, you guys noticed the drop last week.
Yeah, they're really nice. You got the last week.
Hopefully we're going to get a couple more reps, but I think we got people on their phone, so maybe we can go ahead and get started.
Now myself,
okay.
We have already more juveniles so than they so far been in some years, entire juveniles.
So let's go ahead and try to.
This is the flow. I don't know if you've seen it.
We have a piece
of shut it out.
Okay, so we have some people on the phone. You want to tell us who's on the phone before we start the meeting?
Carl Dugger at McNary Dam. John Bailey, Operations 101. Info and Operations 101.
Ben Hausman, Bonneville Dam.
Okay, thank you. So we're still a little shy on reps. We've got NOAA Fisheries here, several people. We don't have any of the CRITFIC or Oregon or Idaho here at this time, or U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, but I think we're going to go ahead and get started. There's a lot of things for Walla Walla, and Byrne was going to be not here until about 10:30, so he suggested that we go ahead and initiate the meeting and try to dig into some of the Walla Walla issues early prior to his arrival. So I'd like to go ahead and do that. I know, Carl, you're only on the phone for a short time, but we'll go ahead with the official meeting, which I guess is approved the April minutes with Tammy. Did anybody have any issues there? I'm not hearing any hands raised or noise, so it sounds like those are approved. Does anybody have additional things they want to have added to the agenda? Yes? Lori?
We only have Lori till about 10:30.
Okay. So sorry, Lori. So we want to fit her in too. Which item will Lori be?
It's a coordination form, 12 bond. It's
okay.
4.3
Okay. So we've got a couple of the coordination forms that we want to get out of the way because 4.4 is the one that Carl's on the phone with, and I imagine Gary wanted to have some further discussion based on some email exchanges I've seen that I haven't posed an answer or replied to at this point.
You just want to
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking we should, okay, since we have people that need to get out of here. Okay, so for those on the phone, we'll go around the room and let you know who's here at the table at this point in time. I'm Ann Setter with Core Walla Walla.
Greg Moody, Core of Walla Walla.
Scott Benton, Bonneville Power.
Mark Plummer, Core Ice Harbor.
Doug Bowes, Core.
Bill Havlin, NIMS.
Christine Peterson, BPA.
Lisa Wright, Core.
Steve Richards, Wash Park Fish and Wildlife.
Ann Stevenson, Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Dave Benner, Fish Path Center.
Miro Zindel, John Day, Core.
Bob Cordy, Core of the Dalles.
Gary Fredericks, NOAA Fisheries.
Ed Meyer, NOAA Fisheries.
Lori Ebner, Hydraulic Design, Portland. Core.
Mackey, Core.
Robert Sansel, Core.
Okay, thanks.
And one more item.
Yep.
The Bonneville Midpoint Operation of the Firehouse 2.
Yeah.
Put that up. Yeah.
When do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, what section do you want to put that under?
You want to talk about doing the geometry?
Let's do it under the open geometry.
Yeah, it's a Bonneville talk.
One, and I know Hausman also has an update that he wants to
put up. Open geometry. Is that under action items? Or
no,
it's like
update.
Number five.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, okay. That said, the two coordination forms that we wanted to work through were Bonneville Spillway Repairs and St. Mary Davian Sprinkler.
I can be here till 10:30.
Okay, so Carl, I know you had a time limitation.
I need to leave at about 10:20 for another meeting.
Okay, so I think we'll go ahead and initiate some discussion on that right now. I think the latest coordination that went out, John sent out kind of a lengthy email late yesterday describing the repairs were going to take place later today and a lot of the process surrounding that. Not sure if anyone has direct questions with that. It seemed like most of the other parties were okay with that. I know that what I had that I thought we probably needed further discussion on was at least one email, perhaps two, from Gary, since I've been out of the office, concerned that the goal issue was not localized to just the bypass outfall. And so I was hoping, Carl, that maybe you could provide some opening discussion of at times when the hazers were not in a meeting with you, what you normally are visualizing out there. Obviously, the need for some deterrent devices on the whole outfall is very clear so that we don't have any perching, and I think that's going to be addressed by the PDT that built the outfall. So that's Jack's, and that was
okay,
it.
Yeah, basically, the hazers here work an eight-hour day. We only have one hazer per day. They are supposed to rotate that between about 5 o'clock and 9 o'clock p.m. I just found out that they were not doing that this year. They were basically working from 6:30 to about 3 or 4. And we basically need to change it to make sure that they are rotating the whole thing. But as the question has come up is whether we need to move to probably two hazers a day, 2 8-hour shifts, because I see they're doing that at other dams now, and if we don't have them there, you know, 8 hours a day, you're leaving, you know, basically 7 or 8 hours of daylight uncovered, and the birds don't follow the time clock. They're there 24/7. It's only recently in the last few days that the birds have shifted to the spillway. They're still hitting the outfall, so getting the sprinklers fixed is pretty critical, but they've been hitting the spillway. We're not exactly sure why. We suspect probably juvenile lamprey. That's just been a development in the last few days, so there are no juvenile shad running in any numbers this time of year, so we're suspecting lamprey, and we just arranged for the hazer to go out on the outfall pipe to haze as well, although we found out there's a problem with the walkway today, so we're temporarily canceled from that. But they're going to be working now. They'll be putting in 8 hours, but they're going to be on rotating over that time zone.
So I guess
that's about it where it is right now.
Okay. One of the constraints that we potentially have in increasing effort was whether there was any money existing at the project, even if the MIPR or the contract with APHIS could be modified in short order.
Dave Coleman assured me yesterday that he can find out a way to come up with the money to, increase the hazing if we have to.
Okay. So then, Ken, I think you're on the phone in terms of the person who facilitates the MIPR. Have you had a chance to contact Avis and discuss with them just how readily they could increase their effort at McNary?
I have not talked to them about that directly. I did talk yesterday briefly about getting a hazer out there for today, an additional hazer. They're kind of out of saw range, or they're in the field. But I could definitely try. From my experience, it's not a quick process to get additional personnel, because they have to actually hire additional help. So they have to advertise and do the hiring and all that. And then, of course, there's what we have to do at our end in house here to modify the annual work plan and the MIPR and get it routed for signature and all that.
Well,
it would take some effort.
Okay.
I guess that another alternative that would be faster would be to, I guess you could say, borrow a hazer from another project that currently has two shifts. If they're willing to give up their second shift hazer and have that guy go to McNary.
A participant has joined the conference.
I know that the projects that currently have the double hazing shift requested that for a reason, because they perceived to have a problem with birds. They want full daylight coverage. So I kind of suspect that they wouldn't want to give up their hazer. But I think Mark Plummer's at the meeting there. Maybe he could comment on that. I know Bill Spurgeon already sent me an email saying pretty much what I just said, that he wants his hazer there for a reason. If he sends them to McNary, he just feels like he's trading one problem for another problem.
Yeah.
So I don't know that borrowing from another project makes sense, but Greg Moody was mentioning that at Little Goose, they've actually pulled in one of the biotechs to assist with APHIS for kind of interim. So I guess, Carl, is that something that, from that you have some personnel that might be able to assist with? I guess right now, this issue is for spring fish. That's when we haze. That's the time period when you're not doing any transport. I'm wondering if it might not be possible to find a biotech to assist with some of this hazing.
They would have to be trained, and we'd have to, do an AHA for them. We'd probably just use the same AHA that APHIS is using. We're short one biotech right now, but we're getting him back shortly. In fact, one of the hazers just walked in. they would require training, but I think, if we paid overtime, we could probably get additional coverage from a biotech. It might be a little tricky to come up with 8 hours a day, because you can only work these guys so many hours a week, but we could probably cover part of the days at least.
That seems like the fastest way to implement. I guess I would encourage that we have some discussion today on that.
Yeah.
Not here.
Not in this meeting.
The hazer, Stan Strom, just walked into my office, and he might be able to answer some of them as well.
I'll just tell you, though, it needs to be as soon as possible. You've got the program.
Talk loud.
You've got the performance standards study going on.
Right.
And we've got a buy-up requirement to have effective hazing at these projects. And what's going on now out there is not effective hazing. That's just obvious. Whether it's 9-point salmon or whatever, and I don't know it's not effective. It's probably salmon. So we're going to get that. But and I didn't see any gulls at the powerhouse, which I usually see when I see a lot of activity through the system. The powerhouse has got more gulls in the spillway. But in this case, there were a lot of gulls. They were working the spillway all the way across. Seemed to be concentrating a little bit more so on the TSW bays, but they certainly were working the entire area. And what I saw at the outfall was maybe somewhere between 10 and 20, 25 gulls at one time working that, which is a drop in the bucket compared to what's at the project. A lot of the gulls were coming to and from the roosting spots, which are on the outfall or on the Navalot guide wall. Maybe 100 birds on both of those areas, but those birds were trading back and forth with what's out in the spillway. So whatever's changed out there, they certainly are working the spillway now, and that can't be anything but hurt the performance standards as well, as it's just not meeting the buyout requirement for effective hazing, maybe in management.
Sure.
So that's whether or not we do a reduced spill for the outfall fix. I'm not sure that cannon is worth it, to tell you the truth. Particularly if they can have somebody out there on the outfall to keep birds out. If they can get halfway out, even if they can't go all the way, they can get within shotgun range.
Well, I think the outfall, we should go ahead with the sprinkler repair just because it at least is going all the time.
I would recommend doing that once you get the river level down.
Right, there won't be any reduction in flow. We can do it with what we got.
So
you still have your 40% no matter what.
Right, but you're cutting back on overalls. No? Okay.
Good. No.
There's no issue.
Yeah,
there shouldn't be an issue to do it. So we'll get that fixed this afternoon.
Yeah.
And then we'll
get out there with the
see what.
We'll just deal with that.
Well, some of the grip strut came off with the high flow. It was the same thing that broke
up through the
electric.
Of it.
Conduit coming over the top out there.
I wouldn't
want to
be on the end of that thing, the way it was splashing up. You definitely know that.
So I guess my impression is that you also found a safe way for the research project that earlier was having a difficult time coordinating out at the tip end. Carl?
I'm sorry, Ann. Go ahead.
It sounded like the project also satisfied the need that Fred Higginbotham had to find a safe way to have the researchers have electrical out there for some sort of monitoring at the tip end of the pipe?
I was talking to Coleman Roberts about it just yesterday, right after Trevor had called in. And, Trevor was looking for to run some cores out there, extension cores, and we think it can be done safely. So he can go that route, but the correspondence I saw from Fred, it looks like they're back to using batteries again. So
it's not totally
I'm not
reasonable.
Sure. I had a call or message out to Trevor to find out what they're doing. We could accommodate either way, it looks
like. Well, I've been hearing multiple things. I mean, I was first told that we couldn't use an extension cord, or first told we could, and then it went to that, and then we told we couldn't, so it went to batteries, and had Fred go out and purchase batteries, and then you responded that possibly we could use an extension cord. And so we have batteries. We're fully set up to use batteries. Extension cords preferred, if you guys are going to allow it. But
yeah, we can do an extension cord. The reason that extension cord was denied in the first place was a misunderstanding. That I wasn't involved in the loop on that, but somebody thought that it was going to be going out the outfall. They didn't understand where the antenna was going to be.
Okay.
And I think there was some confusion over that, and they were thinking a 500-foot extension cord, no way.
Right.
But to get... to hook it up there, you're only going to need, maybe a couple hundred feet. It's not all that much, and it's certain that it'd certainly be reasonable for a fairly short period of time.
Okay.
So we can certainly accommodate an extension cord. There's a number of places on the GFF where we could plug it in.
Okay.
So I guess the takeout for us at the core, Ken and or Carl, is to see what we can do in a short time frame here during this, as quickly as we can. Carl, see what you can do with biotech time in terms of rescheduling and moving them over to assist with hazing. Ken, work with Carl to look into any additional funds and a mechanism for an emergency mod to that MIPR to assist. We normally haze there till, 15 June?
They normally haze till August 1st, I think, isn't it, Stan?
Is it August?
I think it's August 1st.
Okay.
Hey, what's that again?
I'll be working till July 15th.
Yeah, I was just looking at the schedule here. It says April 1 through August 4th for McNary. We extended it a couple of weeks over last year because we didn't feel they were here long enough.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that. Okay. So, we need increased effort. We'd like to have all daylight hours covered if as soon as possible. So
yeah, we'll see what we can do with the techs. I'll get together with Avis to see about the training and getting them equipped and everything.
And then work with Ken as to how long the techs can do that, because he needs to get in place then via the MIPR directly with APHIS additional support to cover the remainder period, because it's probably only a 2-week period though, because it's your techs are going to be available till we start transport, and we haven't been starting transport till at least mid-July.
The problem is right now we're running secondary bypass every even day. You're limited legally as to how many hours you can work a tech a week, even if you are paying overtime. So we just have to see what's possible with the people we have. Mike Berger's out. We'll be getting him back pretty soon, and then we'll be up to full staff. But as it is, we're stretching pretty thin with quite a bit of overtime.
Okay. Well, I guess investigate if you have any... talk as if you're going to a meeting with Dave and Tim and see if there's anybody else you could tap to help with this effort that's already on the project.
Right, you might be able to
maintenance staff,
mechanics or something, and assign them part of the time as well.
Yeah, we have, we're right at the peak of the spring out migration. If we're not past it, I guess that's another thing that as we go through today, there's some suggestion from the data that John gave me on transport at once we've initiated it, that we may well be past kind of the peak of the run in terms of the collection that's been occurring at the projects. I don't know if you guys have been watching that. Maybe you have a comment, Fish Passage Center, on that. But some indication that we may have already passed the bulk of the fish. However, McNary situated where it is, that doesn't affect the Columbia River because we've still got the upper Columbia
Snake
pouring
is
in.
Snake has passed. I wouldn't say the Columbia.
Yeah.
Really neat. Right now is the critical time.
So the message, Carl, is as quickly as possible, hopefully in the next couple days, if we can work with the existing APHIS personnel to find some other staff at McNary to get trained, change schedule, and initiate hazing for the daylight periods.
Right. We'll give it the full court press.
Okay. So with that, I think... we're probably ready to move on to the next thing, and the next one was going to be Lori, because you were here only for a short time as well. So that's the spillway repairs at Bonneville.
Yes, and it's and I don't know all the right terminology, but Portland District is requesting an early in-water work period for Bonneville spillway repair work, basically starting on or about November 1st. And the construction activity is planned to take place, and it will run right up probably through the end of February. What the work is going to entail is concrete removal, drilling for rebar placement, so rebar cages can be grouted into the existing concrete, and then concrete placement. And we will be initiating our fixes starting in Bay 9, which is the worst spillway bay out there. It's the one with the erosion holes closest to the gallery. And then shifting to Bay 12, Bay 14. And there is the potential of other holes to be fixed, all depending upon how much time we've got and how much money we have left at the time we get the first set of holes fixed. There is also undercut at Bay 3-4. But we would anticipate starting in Bay 9. We would want to be able to cut out concrete, potentially grind concrete to make smoother surfaces, drill holes for the rebar cage, rebar to be doweled in so that it can be grouted in, potentially placement of grout, and concrete placement. We're not looking, obviously that's the work activity we've got going on. We are planning a 24/7 operation, and we need to work with all of you to figure out what we can do when. The ladders will not be taken out of service, so there'll be no issues with Bay 1 or 18. And it is a 24-hour operation, and we can work around the appropriate times of day to do specific work. But the critical one is cutting concrete out. Yes, sir. You're shaking hair. What?
Keep on going.
So why don't you talk about the things that might be of concern here? I guess to me it sounds like noise and or water quality.
I would say noise, definitely. We obviously will have water quality monitoring going on as required. And placement of concrete. And we can, I would
say... containment on that concrete, or it's going to all be underwater, so there's no containment.
It's going to be formed, okay. But it's not contained. So we have to form it, otherwise you can't get the surface that we need.
Okay.
So there will be forms there.
It's
so it's not going to be open placement.
Okay.
It'll be pumped into a form, but it's not watertight.
Okay. So you'll have some escape carrying.
Yes.
Lori, what elevation is that at?
It's going to be between minus 16 is the lowest it's going to be, and it's going to go on up to elevation 4, with most of it occurring right at elevation minus 12. The biggest hole is around minus 12.
But the kind of lip of the outside is what? You're going to raise it back up to the spillway?
Yeah, it'll be flush with the current spillway.
And what elevation is that?
Well, it's on the surface. It's actually on the OG surface.
Okay.
So it's on the curved piece.
Okay.
It's not in the flat piece, which is why they have to have forms. If it was on the flat piece, we might be able to get away with open because gravity would do the right thing. Gravity doesn't help us here.
Right.
So we have to have some forms to pour. But the real issue is concrete removal and drilling for the rebar cage.
I'm not too worried about the noise.
And we will start at 9. And I don't think we'd be beyond 9 by the 1st of December. Personally, I think it's going to take that much to do that one bay. And if we needed to delay concrete placement because it was the right thing to do, I don't think that hurts us that much. We would prefer not to. We'd like to be able to finish 9 before we move.
When would you be at concrete pouring stage?
I'm going to guess 3 weeks after we start.
So last week of
November. That would be my guess.
Your guess.
And like I said, if we had to come back because it seemed to be the right thing, those are the things we will work out with all of you as we get close.
I'm not seeing anything that really throws up red flags on water quality issues. We might do a look at dilution factors and how much concrete curing as well as the cranking there's not much flow out of there. Just the two bays are going, so it's going to be kind of a stagnant area.
It's going to be very stagnant. We've talked about recently in Kansas, I think it was Kansas District, they placed a whole bunch of open water concrete, and they did a tremendous amount of water quality monitoring. And so we're trying to capture some of that information. They also did a lot of grinding because they overplaced it, and then they needed to smooth it out. And they did a lot of water quality monitoring. Right. And so we're trying to get that data partly because of the water permit requirements, but also because it would be good information for us to understand where to put monitoring.
Well, I guess if you get through the water quality folks, that's good.
And there will be monitoring when we're doing it. Yes, sir?
Lori, you probably know about this, but when we did the Lomo erosion spillway, they found a type of additive or a type of concrete that doesn't dissolve or put off so much into the water. That was developed down in the Caribbean for remaking the coral reefs after they were destroyed when ships went through. Yeah.
And that's already spec'd out. It's low. There are a couple things there's been a couple advancements in concrete since then, but that's already spec'd out.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, sir.
As far as staging of equipment goes and any special operations for tailwater, is there
a tailwater. No spill.
Do you need the wires removed?
But
yes.
Far, But I guess I'm just wondering, we have a, generally that's about when the chum spawning operation starts going, will be commensurate with that operation, and so there's generally a lot of discussions on the setting of the tailwater, and so I guess I'm just bringing it up in that either we hear one of two things from you. One, the contractor has uber flexibility and can do anything with the aforementioned equipment and gear and is flexible, or two, no, we need to tailwater to be at elevation X on date Y for duration Z.
We are writing into the spec that the tailwater will be varying on a daily basis, if not hourly, based on what is required to meet the chum requirement downstream.
Okay.
So it will state in there that the tailwater can vary up to 7 or 12 feet, whichever is the right one for these months.
Right.
That's
Thank
what
you.
It's going to be told.
Thank you.
It doesn't vary that much.
It could with reverse load factoring if you're trying to maintain a low elevation. At night you'd have to discharge a lot and then come back down.
Oh, I see. Daytime.
Right.
Yeah. But so
daytime it doesn't change that much, but you're right.
Right. We're trying to keep it.
But then they're 24/7. So that they're being told the same thing. And yes, we plan on having the avian wires come down. We'll have to. And we also have a BPA. Transport.
Over.
We'll have a transport issue into the Stilling Basin we'll have to deal with. Probably a bigger issue when we leave than when he comes in.
Is part of that contract to have the avian wires put back up?
There will be in, yes.
I've specified because it hasn't been in the past.
It's not part of the contract to put them back in, but it's included in the MIPR cost to have them put back in is part of the project. Not part of the contract, because the contractor doesn't do it.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, but the MIPR is included to whoever does it, the MIPR will be written and funds will be provided to whoever Tammy tells us to provide them to.
Good.
So is this a barge on a crane that needs the clearance?
Yes. And the spuds, if they use spuds. Mm.
Okay.
So those were the spuds with the tailwater fluctuation we have in there. If we have high water when they're going out, if the spud's clearing a lot, the power line is
limited.
Getting enough clear. They need to clear it by 15 feet.
Can they take on ballast?
They can flood they can drop the spuds, and that's what they have to do.
Okay. Yeah, let's coordinate more, and we'll make sure we either have the line turned off or fix lines.
Thank you. I think the other thing is recognize that we'll be responsive to, and we're writing in the contract that the contractor's work, what he's allowed to do in that first month, is dependent on how we impact fish.
Yeah, I think there's going to be activity and noise in that area. That's not great, but there are a lot of routes through Bonneville Dam, so I'm not so worried about that. Water quality issues, the fish get in there, we wouldn't want to have a fish kill as a result of something going on here, so that I don't get more carefully. But,
so what do you look for in the water quality?
Well,
what are you watching for?
Zinc.
Well, the two, I think there's a couple of things. There's a chemical, based on everything we're seeing, is there's a pH issue that we need to monitor at a couple of stations downstream, and a turbidity. And if it's turbid, what's causing the turbidity? There's a test that they run on the material.
I'm concerned about the turbidity, but the pH is the issue that everyone's concerned about.
And those are the things that are currently being set up to be monitored.
So there's like a threshold that
I don't know what the
that
limits
point.
Are. I mean, I'd have to think. I haven't done this.
There's a the way the water quality certs are typically written is that we have to you have your baseline, and within the first 100 feet you can have a slight increase, but by the time you're 1,000 feet downstream or 900 feet downstream, it has to be back to baseline.
Okay, we'll look at that.
That's really close. I think it's a 10% increase at the first station, but by the last station, it has to be back to baseline.
So,
I'm close. I'm in the right ballpark.
Yeah, and they're usually pretty protective of aquatic resources, so I think we'll go along with it.
Right, and we're required to monitor them 24/7.
Is this the OE or?
it's going to be both. We'll have, or we have to have...
Right down the middle.
Yes, we have to have permits from both sides.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, anybody else?
So would this be a good time to cover the other change form for Bonneville for that same period?
Sure.
I submitted one for the ability to run the turbines from the 1st through the 12th.
Why don't you reference where you're going with that, Scott? Where is it on the agenda?
Page 6.
Is it a change form or a coordination form?
What did you call it? Coordination form. Coordination request. Page 6 of the agenda.
So what?
Say again, please.
Is it 12,
is agenda 4.2, 12.11, 2012? Yep, that's the one. And so what that is normally CHOM operations start sometime around November 1st through the 10th. And so what I did is put in a request to be able to run the unscreened units in the second powerhouse that we'll have out of service from August and September. And this dovetails really well with the work you're trying to do in the spillway because you're not going to allow a spill to occur. And so we need to have somewhere to put the water, possibly if the flows are high enough. So that goes along with this request. I mean, it's not with the request, but it helps that request as well.
Okay, so we have plenty of time to respond.
I mean, that'll kill fish. So.
Well, the CHOM operation starts as well. So.
I know, we're gonna have to weigh CHOM operations against this. I really don't like the idea of my machine sunscreen.
So it starts on the 12th, no matter what. Mm-hmm. It's JBS goes out of service.
Right.
And then the flows could also choice. Be. Yeah, flows
well,
could also be.
You're asking for one through 12, right?
Sure.
And that's higher passage, higher adult numbers, all that stuff.
Sure, but you might have high enough flow where you have to pass water. And if you don't have the spillway and you only have 100 that can go through the first powerhouse, and you're trying to make a tailwater 11.5 with 130.
On the first powerhouse.
Well, it does start on November 1st to go out at 1%. So assuming all units are available, you can do that. But that's not a guarantee that you're going to have all units built.
But you'll have some.
You'll have some, but eventually you have to net out to pass, say, 130,000. If you can only pass 100 or 110 through the first powerhouse, the water has to go somewhere. It can't go through the spillway.
Okay, well, I need to think about if you really need to have. I mean, if it's above the capacity, above the entire, you don't have a choice. Yeah, I understand.
Right, right. I mean, it has to go somewhere.
Well, yeah. I'm sure it's. You just have to do it.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing.
That's not coordination.
Well, you.
You don't.
Just prep, giving you a heads up that you might have to at this point in time.
That's
I think.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you're close to be high enough where you have to do it.
That's a little different than saying you got to do it. Sorry, Charlie, but we're doing it.
Yeah.
Because you can't spill.
But there is some nuance to that in that it just as far as the coordination piece goes, it just rears the best geometry issue up again as well because that. It should be part of the discussion if we're trying to manage water and not run unscreened units.
Without a doubt, should we go up to best geometry at our house?
I'm hearing you say that, but I'm not sure.
November 1st, November 1st, it's allowed. November through April.
Oh, okay.
It's a no-brainer for that.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of me saying, yeah, go ahead and run units unscreened at our house, too, knowing that we have potential adult fallback issues.
Yes. This is Tom Ward.
Hey, Tom.
The question I had on this operation that Benton's putting in for, would you add in corner clutcher operations that if you turn on RS2 on screen, would you put on a corner clutcher since we now have the garage door opener?
Well, it's a consideration that I didn't get approved. I saw your comment in there on that one.
Yeah, it's more water. 5K
anyway. It's 5K more water.
Yeah, I think that would obviously for the first couple of weeks, should be on the table. I can't say, yeah, go ahead, kind of screen.
The only downside of that is depending on what tailwater you're trying to run, you're going to be putting gas into the Chum area. That's why we historically don't run it.
Yeah, well, but if you're, the only reason you're running is because you have higher enough, you have higher flows than one, whatever, pick your favorite number of 100. So, plus 12. I mean, once you get higher flows like that, your tailwater should be coming up anyways.
Sure, sure. There's a, if you keep it down low in the day and then you bring it up, you may want to delay when you opened it so you can get the tailwater to come up before you put the gas water there. So, all right, so we'll talk about it more next month?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's, I'll take a closer look at it.
Sounds good.
Okay. How about if we go back to NWW action items and move through there until such time, probably half hours from now when Vern gets here. So first one would be fishway maintenance, and that's Jewel, but I wanted to ask you, Tammy, this one is a recurring, this 221 under here, and I had talked to Bill and a month or so ago about the this list and that it was available, but about 3 months ago, when you were trying to put together just a hierarchy of who they would write letters to, we provided a list of things that we weren't currently finding funding for within the district, and I was under the impression that you'd already put something out on somewhere, or at least had received it. So I'm wondering why it's still on here.
Yeah, we
provided. Yeah, we, you guys had done it, I had done it, I'd gone into AMRIP over at our end, and so, I mean, it's not that we
is
can't
that the
update
critical
it.
Infrastructure?
This is NW, it's under NWW action items, but it...
The list you sent.
Oh, yeah,
I
infrastructure.
I put those under critical infrastructure.
Yeah, yeah.
So we did have the critical infrastructure list. This was in response to Scott asking what were... I guess it's kind of the same as critical infrastructure, but Scott had asked what work do we need to do that we're not getting funding for.
Okay, well, I mean, we can either talk about that or we can sort of site by site put together a list, and I'm willing to do that, but... Basically, you know, for Walla Walla District, it's kind of the longer-term maintenance. We're hoping in 13 to go to Lomo and have them go through both ladders and the pumps. So they rebuild the pumps, they clean out mud valves, they clean out diffusers, make sure that they're all functional, just get the ladder back in shape, essentially. And I think we still have that need downstream then. I know that McNary ladders are still in need of a fair amount of maintenance, that basic, as well as you're probably aware that we still have the Washington Shore stop log issue at the top end there that we're trying to fund. Couple small issues probably on the Oregon Shore. You know, Mark's here for Ice Harbor, so I'll go ahead and let him talk about what the needs are at Ice Harbor, but my impression is that we're kind of due. It's probably been about 10 years or so before we've really been in there lately to do any of the major maintenance.
I think our major concern is the shape of the grading and so forth in the adult fish ladders. We're continuing to find grading that's either lifted up because some of the fasteners have rusted through, or grading that's just broken. It's been in there, it's original stuff in a lot of places. So that's where I believe we would like to start in, is replacing some of that.
Okay, and that is part of what they're going to be doing at Lomo as well. They have, from a safety standpoint, failed grading. Lower Granite is expected to be updating their grading in 13 as well, but they do not have money to go through and just kind of do the clean out and make sure that the hydraulics and things like that are functioning appropriately. So that'll be a do out. Little Goose, I think just right off the top of my head, not sure that I have
Weirs.
Okay, so the Weirs and operators are both Granite, Goose, and possibly a do out for Lomo and Ice. And so there's, we're having failures. One of the things that we're going to talk about here today is Ice Harbor and a Weir failure.
So part of this request was just to give you guys some support. If we know what the list is that you're trying to accomplish in a ballpark of what the cost is, you can plug it in the right places and see if we get some traction.
Yeah, I'd like to work with you on that because I don't know if you're aware, but as we're going out to FY14, we're fairly seriously constrained. Right now there's no non-routine in there.
Right.
And so it's gonna get at least at Walla Walla.
Yes.
You know.
More than the same.
Yeah. So we're yeah, we're going to be looking wherever we can for whatever.
So,
let's have left the conference.
Just let's feel free to ask, and let me get you what you need.
So you're going to need price tags on all those items, which we did not provide, I don't think. Bert didn't ask for price tags on all those things.
You need to know a ballpark for what the...
Right.
Can't go looking for money if you don't know how much you're looking for.
Right.
So now that the budget is kind of put together, maybe we can just look at those things in increment 4 and 5 that we would like to do that we just don't have money.
Yeah. Yeah, I think all the numbers are in there. They should all be in there. Yeah. Just got a big mouth.
Yeah, and we similarly have this database called AMRIP that has the bulk of that in there as well, with estimates, just broad swag estimates, but okay. The next one is another one. Greg, I think maybe you want to talk to this. This is Little Goose and the trigger for the TSW. Scott's brought that up at the last two meetings and asked kind of for further discussion on that. And you were going to follow that up after the last meeting.
The last change we did on this thing, on Little Goose, was back in February last year. The change form that we have on this thing, it still has 85 and KCFS on it then at that time. But as you remember, last year, Little Goose went into the powerhouse, was out of service for a lot of the year. And currently, you know, these are the stats that we use, you know, basically low flow weir pretty much last year, or the low crest weir. So the concerns that I see on this old, well, this FPP change form is that the only one that really felt there was a problem with it would be Mr. Sweet, that maybe adult fish passage may have a problem at that point. So with that in mind, you know, the settings are that we moved from low weir to low crest to high crest. When we see the current STP indicates 7 days of flows below 85 KCFS. The current STP does not display that that came out this week, does not display 7 days of low flows below that. In fact, it increases a little bit later on this month, and so I'm a little bit funny like that. But right now, the flows in Snake River are awfully close to about 90.
Our participant has joined the conference.
And, you know, it's asking the project biologist out there and even Steve to take a look out that direction. And, you know, of course, we're seeing the regular reverse eddy at that in the tail race at this time. Now, whether or not that's holding up fish or not is dependent upon the run of fish going on there. Is Chinook coming up there in huge numbers right now at this point? I haven't seen that yet entering the Snake River. And so what I'm getting at is we might want to hold off a little bit and see what's going on at that a little bit later on. And all of a sudden come out with an emergency. Let's change it right now because we're seeing something with an email or something like that later on. But right now I don't see an impetus right now to actually change it. Now, the project biologist says there may be a little bit of delay going on right now, but the main run of fish have not shown up, I can tell, right now. In my numbers. They're on their way. And so it could be there. It could be there, you know, Saturday, Sunday this week. Who knows?
Close to 20,000.
And if we see something being held up between Goose and Granite, we'll take a look at that thing real quick, and I'll shoot out an email. We'll confirm that. He did say another requirement on that one, too, was to look at juvenile fish migration downstream, too, to make sure that we do not interrupt the peak runs. And, well, Chinook are starting to show up pretty good right now, but the steelhead have peaked, he says, at that place. So we're past that point of steelhead. We're just looking at Chinook at the same time and we'll look at the flows. What do you think?
Question for you.
Yeah.
If we're still pushing out, say, 90 to 110 KCFS, so we're going to be in a low crest condition.
Yes.
and all of a sudden we have, you know, this big surge hit the Macoose all at one time, which looks like it's going to be, they're going to come up in a big wad. How would they consider going to a high crest even for above 90 if it looks like an old crud, we're having a problem? If they would consider doing that, what's the hurdles in the way other than just the juvenile fish stuff? I mean, is there a legality issue or operate?
As long as everyone agrees, yeah. You know, we can go through coordination. But right. You know, you're kind of poo-pooing being an adult person, the juvenile survival stuff.
And
there's a lot of good juvenile survival data from the past suggestive that everything that goes through that TSW goes through with very high survival versus the spillway or other routes. And so. You know, I think where Greg is headed is, don't we want to demonstrate that, in fact, at this flow that we're going to be at with 90, you know, that we have an issue? And Scott's questioning, do we want to get ahead of the ball game and anticipate that we're going to have an issue?
But we saw it 2 years ago.
Yeah, we saw it 2 years ago.
Last year wasn't a typical year. My question is how fast can you make the change if needed?
Right, and
is
how,
it be,
and when do you pull the fire alarm? Because I think that's been the issue a couple years ago.
That's always been the issue.
Upstream and downstream.
We're going to have to keep in mind project, you know, regular work days on that thing, too. It's not going to work over a weekend.
Like a Tuesday was the better.
You know, if we hit this all of a sudden a Monday evening or a Tuesday evening, of course it'll be done by Thursday. And in the past, if I remember right, 2 years ago, when we were first playing around with these two weirs, you know, and it took maybe about 4 hours for that weir to change from one crest level to the other crest level.
Okay.
Project time. And, you know, and they did pretty good 2 years ago on this situation, trying to make sure that they can move it back and forth all the time.
But it's dependent on weather, too, so if it's a windy day, that interrupts.
It's a windy day, you know, that type of stuff going on. You know, there's always those limitations. But, you know, I can say, yes, we'll do it as fast as we can, Steve.
So it'll be email-type coordination, or will it be?
I would have a quick email and probably hit, you know, the major people here and a call, you know, a telephone call at least to these people. To say that we're actually doing it.
What's your trigger?
Trigger right now is 85K.
Just the flow.
Yeah, just the flow.
Mm-hmm. Observation.
And with, you know, looks like juvenile steel have gone by. Right. We're showing some Chinook coming in, you know, migrating down. But
I guess so, Greg, just since everybody's here, what would the emergency drill number differential between Granite or Lomo Delta be at Goose? Because I think that's what's happened in years past. Is it's there's a 1,000K Delta. Does that bother people? There's a 2,000K Delta. Does that bother people? Is it three?
Yeah,
what is it? Because I think we keep suggesting this 2 year ago situation. It seemed like there was
9,000
four, five, six, 7 days that it was. It seemed like there was a significant duration of a measurable differential between counts at three projects. And I guess since we have everybody's brains here, is there some number that folks are more comfortable with?
Well, or how many days in a row, too? I guess I'd like to put that in because there is some sporadic stuff where just one day could be off. I don't really like chasing something on one day's worth of counts, but, you know, on 3 days worth of counts or something, you know, we should probably be taking action.
Yeah, especially if we have a fishery in the tail race.
That's
a wonderful tail race.
Yeah,
that's
sea lions.
Yeah, human.
They are sea lions.
They're worse than sea lions.
Mm-hmm. We're only keeping the animals clip ones, though.
Yeah.
Only with those fish caught. Only with those fish caught.
What I've learned from this decision over 3 or 4 years is that it kind of has to be played in season, day by day,
mm-hmm.
when it's happening. Right. We've tried to predict and how, you know, do it when this happens or that happens, and you've been involved a lot with Steve, and it's just when it's you got to watch those counts, and people exchange information about the counts, you identify the differences, the Fish Passage Center identifies it, and we group think it.
Yep.
And we end up with the best solution, but you can't predict something. Every year is different.
Absolutely.
It happens different every year.
Mm-hmm. So my question again is, if flows are above 90, because we're trying to protect juveniles, what's the thought process of going to a high crest situation if flows are still above 90 and we have a problem?
Well, you can initiate a request for coordination. We can go through just what he's described here as discussions with all the other parties in the region and see if we can get through that adaptive management agreement to go ahead and go to a high position.
Yeah. So the biggest deterrent is just is the impact on juvenile fish.
Yeah.
Nothing in the buy-off otherwise as far as the
It's our decision.
The way I see it,
yes, I'm trying to get
yes. If you see a problem and you want the weir changed.
Start an issue.
And you're there and you called me and called a couple people.
Yeah.
You tell Ann and Greg and they put out a coordination to us all here.
Yeah.
And give it a day. Say we want this to look at this in a day or two. Give us a response.
Right.
And you guys, go with it.
We've done it.
So you'll be looking at juvenile out-migration at the same time.
Always we might do.
Well, everyone, each of the fishery managers would be as well, because it's a trade-off then, depending on how many fish you still have in river juveniles versus the delta that he was referring to a little bit before.
We're trying to anticipate some of the hurdles and how we would address them.
And that's why we have the agenda today, is so we can talk about before it becomes an issue.
Problem.
You got a comment, Gary?
No, it's species composition as well as numbers, so it's steelhead versus shad.
Yeah, because the interesting thing at Goose, at least from my recall of the last time they did testing there when they first put the weir in, is that it's been much more successful at passing Chinook than a lot of the other spillway weirs.
Yeah.
And so there's not good reason to pull it out until you're ready to pull it out, because we're getting good survival and we're getting good passage through there, all the reasons that we built it. Whereas at someplace like McNary, it's primarily steelhead that use the spillway weirs.
Right.
So if the steelhead are passed, then, you'd be trading off that direction.
Just want to look at the data.
Yeah, that's
the key.
Because we come with that data, juvenile fish daily now.
Has joined the conference.
Who?
Wow. Somebody gave the number out to a street party.
So much practice. Okay, then we'll expect double eyes on this situation. It's going to be happening here within the week, too. I'll bet.
It should, because with the counts at Bonneville, I would think in another week we ought to see some good numbers starting to run up the snake in another week and a half.
Somebody sees a blockage and I don't catch it, let me know.
Yeah, so email, phone call, let us know. We can get a coordination started. Then the only caveats there is, as Greg alluded to, project schedule. We won't be able to get it done on a weekend. I think that is written into the FOP this year. But especially when we start to get a heads up, like when we can start coordination, we can let the project know that we're looking at that so that they can kind of get back to us on a date when they could initiate.
Well, the good news is we're going to have a crane to do this next year.
Next year.
Next year.
I mean, it'll be able to do it, it'll be able
good.
To change it.
That'd be
that
great.
That is good news, because that'll make it, we'll need
just a push
labor.
Button, right?
Yeah.
An operator push button.
It's like Sioux State Bonneville.
But we thought we were going to have this one in Bonneville, right? And we waited
2 years for that.
A few years.
So, Greg.
All right, good.
Next one is yours. It's an action item on Lomo tailray screens. Did Bill provide a drawing?
The requested tailray screen. The drawings are present in your agenda package. Page number 4. That's what Bill Spurgeon. Well, you can throw your darts at Bill, not me.
he provided, and several people were out at Lomo looking at the new bypass outfall, so they actually saw these screens in person. So I think this is mostly to benefit the people that weren't out there and didn't actually see them in person.
And there's,
what's the question?
Some people wanted
the dimensions were recorded. This actually provides the dimensions.
This provides dimensions.
So 5/16 by 15/16.
It's preferred purchasing, so there it is.
So you're asking for a response? Or
no, we're just providing information as requested.
We provided information as requested.
So we'll keep moving. We'll go into the wall updates. As most of you should be aware, transportation was initiated. Started collection at Lower Granite on May 1. First barge left Lower Granite May 2. On the 3rd, you started collection at Little Goose with the barge leaving the following day. The 4th, a upon which time at 4 in the afternoon they started direct loading at Little Goose because another barge was brought in. Lomo started collection on the 5th, and first barge left there on the 6th. And so at this point in time, we have no issues other than the coordination form or the MFR that went out 2 days ago on Tuesday, where at Lower Granite we had a blockage in the load line and lost a 100 fish. So, but also just kind of the question mark that I raised earlier, John put together just some of the numbers and sort of suggestive that the bulk of the run may be past there. And so I think we'll be watching the numbers to just know the frequency of transportation. Just kind of watching that. So I don't know if anybody has any comments. If not, that's just real brief.
Ann, did you want to comment on that blockage of the loading line? Right,
sure.
Now, I was just trying to understand that that email. I'm trying to figure out. Well, there's been a lot of debris up there for the last several years. Mm-hmm. And what was? Tell me again. What was different about this situation? Why that?
I can comment on that if you like, is John.
Okay, oh, John, go ahead.
You know, what happened was that the unit had been sitting a while, debris came in and sit on the trash rack, and they cranked it up and it went in the gate well. It was a unit startup is what that was. So it was just kind of a short burst of debris came into the system when the unit turned on.
So remember that this is taking place in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're doing less generation, but there's also apparently some cycling of units that was occurring. And this may be somewhat routine in the middle of the night. I don't know if you can comment, Scott, on that, but anyway, there was apparently cycling of units taking place, and as a result, we got the blockage in the line.
That'd be something the project could do on their own.
The water goes over the separator. A lot of debris is taken out of the separator. Right?
Yep.
Yeah, and this was a direct loading line to the barge.
So we had two lines running to the barge at the back end, sometimes we have four lines running. So I think that the do out that Mike said is that in retrospect he might have had all four, because then you would have been spreading it a little bit thinner and maybe a little bit less likely to have the clog.
Yeah.
So we asked him what you could do differently in the future to minimize the chance of this occurring again. And, you know, perhaps some discussion with the powerhouse on that cycling, because, Unit 4 is down right now, right, and one that we're running outside 1%. Those are kind of the constraints that I'm aware of at Lower Granite. Other than that, I'm not exactly sure what else to tell you about why it occurred.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was...
Well, direct loading is a good thing.
Yeah, it's
but
a good
thing. But then when the debris is being passed directly from the forebay and to the barge fish...
Because you can, if you put them in the raceways where you handle them twice, you can clean out the raceways. I mean, that's more evident all the time. It's not inside of a conduit you don't see. And so that was the other trade-off that Mike Halter mentioned, in terms of things you could do differently. He didn't really want to recommend that heavily, though, because of the second handling, whereas if you just direct load. Hopefully it's one of those things that we don't have a very high probability of having occur again, although as debris builds up in the forebay, a good mechanism to get that cleared out routinely, especially when it's across the face of the powerhouse units there is difficult, because obviously you're operating your RSW, which helps clean out the forebay pretty well, but you still have some drawn up against those trash racks close. And
how long have we been direct loading? How many years?
Oh boy, that's a good question.
Hey,
that's
John, how long have we been direct loading? How many years?
Seems like it's back to 2000.
What was the question exactly? I couldn't hear it.
How many years have we been direct loading, John?
How many years direct loading have we been doing?
At barges at Lower Granite, John.
Well, at Lower Granite, they don't direct load all the time. They only do it when a barge is available. Usually when the barge arrives back, and maybe for a few hours until the morning when they button things up and send it out. So it's not like Little Goose, we have a barge there 24 hours a day.
Right, but we've been doing it for quite a number of years, so this is the first time it's happened. So it's not a, it's a very rare event.
Right.
Gosh, it's been going on at least 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Okay, if there's no other questions, maybe we'll move on to the next update for Walla Walla, which is Ice Harbor North Adult Fish Count Station. Improvements for transmitting video to the South Shore Count Station. Is that you, Greg?
Yes, yes. I just wanted to say we did some improvements in the fish unit. The Bonneville Fish Unit came up with a new way of transmitting video to the South Count Station at Ice Harbor Dam. At that dam, of course, got the two ladders and only one count station. One person takes a look at video from the North Shore and counts off that video. But it's a video live video feed. And, of course, a few little problems at the beginning, but right now, Steve, you'd say it'd be doing pretty good, isn't it, the system going on?
We're running the coax cable.
And
which is providing a good signal. And Mark Plummer came up with a shade structure device that over the top of the count station, which blocks the most intense sun glare.
I just wanted clarification on that. In the past, we were directed not to shade areas over the fish ladders because I think there was a thought where the fish may either hold or turn around in that area. So I just wanted a clarification that it's okay to shade the fish counting areas now.
Keep in mind that even though you put a shade structure over that count station, you still probably have 500 watts of light bulb shining on that count window. Yeah. So it's not exactly shaded. You're just controlling the source of light.
Yeah. No, I'm not not saying I see any difference. I just know that...
Well, we see a difference. It's
no,
a lot better.
No, I mean in fish passes,
Steve.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, in the past, we've always been instructed not to shade over the fish ladder. So I just want some consensus that that is okay. And then if that is okay, we'll keep it as it is. But if it's not, I'd like to remove that shade. But I'm not seeing any difference in fish passage.
You mainly don't want fish going from a light to a dark or a dark to a light situation.
I think it depends on the degree of shading. If it's only partial and small area shaded, like to protect it from the sunshine, like for the fish counters, that should be okay.
Is he a person?
We're talking two different things, too. You can shade a section of the ladder, or in this case, we're shading a count slot that has auxiliary light being shined into it. So we're not truly shading the count station, but you're concerned about shading, say, a corner of the fish ladder. That might be a bigger deal, where you have a bunch of holding water and whatnot. Anything around the count slot generally isn't considered holding water.
As long as we prevent the direct, illumination by shading and diffusing the light, it should be okay because it doesn't change, doesn't create a really profound shade or anything like that.
One of the advantages of Mark's structure over the count, top of the count slot, is that with our camera, we were competing with sun glare. So the iris of the camera is trying to reduce itself because the top of the window is so bright and then the bottom of the window is black almost. But by creating that getting rid of that sun glare, the window is more a uniform color, and we're actually able to reduce the amount of light from inside the count station. Some like Lomo and Ice Harbor, the unmanned section, I'm not sure if those are 250 watt or 500 watt lights.
I'm not sure.
They're really big and they're really hot. Once we went from a bank of four to a bank of two, it's two still way more than we need. However, if you lose one, you still got the other ones. You hate to have just one light bulb going. So we've been able to reduce the intensity of light that counts a lot, which, like in McNary, when the fish counters are counting live, a lot of times during the day, they will reduce the lighting well enough that they can see, but the fish go through better if they're not going into an area of low light to extreme, white backboard, white everything. So it actually promotes a smoother passage. And also, that reducing the amount of light in the light bulbs, you're probably going to reduce the amount of algae growth on your windows or your backboards, which should help with the maintenance still. But what you did in the mark there was really good.
I think it made quite a difference as far as counting fish. I really do. You can really identify the fish, and it doesn't seem to have any impact on them passing the window.
I'm just looking at what it's, the thought has always been in the past, not to go from light to dark to light. So I just wanted to clarify with the group and make sure that the consensus is that that's okay.
And that's the important question right here.
Is NIPSPA enough on that?
Trevor, Gary, Bill, are you guys billing off on the idea that we did some changes in the count station slot to where, you know, light conditions are a little bit different than they were in the past, so we can actually see the fish, or people can see the fish a little bit better? We reduced a little bit of light, but of course they got light coming in from an ambient source going in there, so it's not pitch black. It's just reduced, like a sunshade, basically, over that section of the count station.
Not a problem.
Okay. We just want confirmation that'd be fine to do. I mean, it does improve counts.
Good.
Okay,
good.
Great.
Works really well.
Thanks. Thank you.
No, I've asked Thrill Spurgeon at Lomo to do a similar structure on its
south shore. South shore, yeah.
And once upon a time, they had something. They actually had something on the north shore as well. However, when they redesigned the north shore, they got rid of it.
Have left the conference.
Got rid of their structure, their shade structure, and
they live the same way.
You know, it's not like a broken record, but it really is better for us to count fish. I think it's actually better for the fish if you don't have those really intense lighted areas. Bill said he would look into it, but if you got a blessing from the Walla Walla District to look into it a little harder, you might move faster.
Okay. So he needs something on north and south, or just north?
Well, the north, the south primarily, because it's a camera.
South.
I mean, we can adjust our eyeballs. We can adjust pretty good, but the camera can't deal with contrasting light. And the north shore, you look at the new structure of the count slot, and it might be too much work because it's pretty open right there. And when you put any type of stage structure device, as Mark knows, it has to be something that will not fall into the ladder. And it has to be something that somebody won't stand on and fall into the ladder.
There's some safety issues there.
Yeah.
Need to be addressed.
So what you put was really good. Yeah, the whole thing is keep them out of the ladder.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Moving on to Ice Harbor coffer cells. That's a
the
PDT.
Coffer, yeah, PDT. Well, yeah, they're PDT formed. And they just received money to do this work. But cover cells at Ice Harbor Dam are located just downstream of the
Navlock.
And they're designed to reduce, I guess, water pushing the barge into the north shore there, prevent from grounding going on at the time, at any time. So they must have been effective for the past 15 years because they were installed in 98, 99, that time of year. But this year, upon inspection, they noticed that one coffer cell is tilting. And with that tilt, there's also a reduction in fill in that coffer cell at the same time. Well, the dam safety people have been looking at, you know, the channel and the navigation channel and around the coffer cells for past few years and noticed a little bit of change in the bottom composition there. And they thought that was just normal movement when they started seeing rocks downstream. But this year, upon inspection, one night, they noticed that the coffer decided to tilt on itself. So, of course, that started everything going again on that. I've got to repair these things because these things are important. They need to have them, of course. The emergency time. Now, how big is the emergency? Yes, they did receive money for this thing to repair, but when are they going to be able to do it? And how they're going to be able to do it. They want to use a barge-mounted crane to do this. They can't use a helicopter to drop rocks into those things because they have overhead power lines. A conveyor belt from a barge, maybe they can do that. They're floating those type of ideas going on right now, but they need close to about... They're about 3,000-yard... fill needs to be put into this thing. But at the same time, this cell is actually starting to buckle on itself. And so it's showing that the integrity of the cell itself is actually going to be going bad too. Now,
3,000 yards?
Well, the thing, the copper cells hold close to 3,000 yards.
Really? There you go. Wow.
And they're big, and there's different type of rocks in there too. And of course, the rocks are only filled up to about a foot of the lip, so that, of course, our birds can't land in there and start spying on what's in the water. It works. It works. But when do they want to do it? They want to do it, let's say, in July. Awesome. And I'm going, wonderful. Now, how are you going to do it? They said, well, we're just going to shut off spill and, you know, line the barge up. And I said, yeah, right.
You should do it from the NavLock channel.
And so, huh?
Just do it from the NavLock channel.
The conference.
Well, it's going to take close to about 24 hours to do this. And there's a problem, I think, them doing in the NavLock channel area itself. That's going to be
stops navigation.
Yeah, and also fish transport, too, in July. So we got to look at a different time, I told them, if they're going to be doing it from a barge. And I suggested September.
Is it really only 24 hours?
Was that?
It's only 24 hours.
I believe it may be up to 24 hours on this stuff, but they cannot work. They're not going to be doing it at night because of safety issues.
I don't think they were looking for a fix. They were more looking to replace the fill at this time to keep it from buckling.
Yeah.
Right, so if you wait too long, it'll be buckled.
And that's the thing. It may, if we wait too much longer, if we do wait, let's say it's September, it works fine. But if it doesn't, all of a sudden this thing's starting to buckle and falls apart and the fill goes into the nav channel, we're going to have to do a little bit of digging out that direction too.
So all the fill goes inside the cofferdam?
Yes. In the copper cell.
And what's the copper cell? Is it?
It's one of those big round dolls.
Big copper, yeah, it's a big round metal. Like.
Yes. They're put in to assist navigation.
They bring up the water flow so that the barges can get in. It's a couple of years with the new spill program.
Well, there you go. Okay.
Historically, just a little more history. They were put in after the installation of the spill deflectors.
Yeah.
Because the spill deflectors put a lot of the flow over.
Yeah, the spill deflectors are throwing things that direction. So those are the thoughts that are going on right now, and I've told you, let's wait until then. But I just want FPON to be aware. This is coming up. It may come up really
quick overnight.
When
are we normally between runs?
July.
Yeah. Well,
and to have them take a look at 30% spill, at 30% at, say, 60 in the river, could they work at that level? Obviously, you can't with gas cap 45, but since we're doing this delightful 30 biop operation, which we're not testing, but we're doing for funsies, you might be able to do like have 2-3% days back to back. That might give you an opportunity to move in there and do that. I would also encourage you to take a strongly look at the barge side if you could do it from the nav side and that not have to impact spill and not have to coordination form. That would make a lot more people happy and find out why you can't do it from the nav side.
Yeah.
So the nav side is it, do you know why they can't do it from the nav side?
That's why
it's probably box navigation.
Yeah, it's
box navigation for a day.
I agree.
Let's see, buy out navigation for a day.
If you can park your barge on the inside and do it from the inside, because you're using the thing as your block from the spill.
Yeah.
And with this much planning, two barges a day is pretty.
You can tell the
barges
like, hey, you're gonna have a day outage in July.
Yeah, I mean they're working. Yeah, they're working outages all the time. Yeah, they work outages. You probably see those all the time.
Otherwise, it might tip over into the nav lock, and then you won't be able to barge
exactly.
at all. So, take a pick.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a thing.
That's kind of something to work.
So the other alternative is to reduce spill in that period of time, which is not going to happen, though. Right?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, if it falls over and it becomes we can't use the nav lock because the thing is blocking it,
right?
There's a problem for us.
We want to transport it.
Right.
So it's a multifaceted issue.
Really, we don't.
I know you don't like transport.
I know we don't.
Propulsion of transport?
Why?
Quit it.
Well, we have other commercial barging that goes on.
Yeah.
Sure. So it's a bit of a safety problem.
Yeah, it's a bit.
We have two things to check. You know, if you can do it on 30% spill days and whether or not you can work from within the nav lock. Those are the two things to investigate. Maybe you can talk with your PDT before you meet.
The other thing that they brought up is they did not want to use spuds on a barge. And I'm going, okay, you don't want potatoes.
Can you tell us what spuds are, please?
They're big I-beams that go up and down.
Anchors.
They put them onto the bottom.
And they said that because there's ESA habitat below there that they don't want to destroy them.
But they're burying it with the rock coming out of the
side. Okay, I go, really? All right, there is, I guess. But that was one of the questions that they came up with. Somebody.
Fulsion of red
in the nav.
I don't know. Now, would that
talk
be.
To Chris Penny, because he's the one who's done all the surveys.
I wonder if that's what he.
First time I heard that one.
This is coming from outside. You know, try to catch up on
this thing.
Or
inside the barn.
Inside the core is probably coming out of environmental compliance because he isn't anymore. Yeah.
So what we're getting at is, would that be acceptable?
Well, let's see. Covering it with a bunch of debris from the coffer cells or putting an IV on it so it'll stop doing that.
Yeah.
One might go for that option. Right. But we won't use common sense today.
That's right.
Well, we can have another discussion a month from now that you can direct your PDT back on, so you can investigate these two questions, and we can have a discussion in June.
One real quick question. If you had to modify it, or if there was a pressure to modify this bill, does that go in front of the judge? I mean, what's the deal with
that? It comes out coordination, adaptive management. Everyone has to agree before you can make a change, and generally, if you're going to do something like that, you need to provide some mitigation or whatever. You know, I mean, we just have to agree.
No, we don't.
Okay.
The evil word.
Okay, sorry, you've been here too long.
But it doesn't have to go in front of the law.
Sorry.
Don't mitigate.
Anyway, we have to do adaptive management and have unilateral agreement. Everyone has to agree before we can do it.
Unless it becomes a safety issue and then the court can
implement it.
You can, but we would still strongly encourage you to do other operations.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So yeah, a lot more information would be very helpful on this.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a do out for next time.
Right. She's the do out for next time. Just introducing it, seeing what ideas are going on right now, that's all.
Yeah. Okay, the next one is one that I sent out. It's been over a week now. This is the LOMO STS. It was an MFR, memo for fish, remember for the record, on the fish mortality when we had the failure last week. And then this week they were going in and replacing fasteners on the other STSs, rotating between units, because they had gotten some fasteners that they had put in during the winter work window, and apparently they were faulty, which is why we had that failure last week.
So
they
breathed then. It was just no.
It was a failure of the clips that hold
so the just enough to breathe that the weekend fastener just popped off.
Yeah. And so what they did, everything that they put in the winter work window, they're rotating through this week and replacing with the better fasteners that aren't faulty.
The whole powerhouse has the faulty fasteners?
Yes.
Portions of screens at all of them. Anything that was worked on last winter work window that was from that batch of fasteners.
Still don't know which fasteners to use. Awesome.
Well, remember how government works is that, you know, low cost, whoever sends it in, and probably in this case, they were faulty.
Specific criteria that don't allow that.
Well, no, a little bit.
Well, I mean,
small
still,
business.
You have to have
well, you have the technical criteria, but yeah, somebody somehow
jumped the gun.
Yeah, something got through. Because what they did is, did they borrow from you to get some?
No, I don't believe so, but I'd like to know what those fasteners are so I can look at what we're using. You know?
Talking to Scott, they did steal some from you guys.
Yeah, that was my impression is that, so Bill just had Scott some Thorne. Remaining of what he used, and in the interim last
Scott
week he
Thorne
borrowed
found some at your place
and then they immediately got some.
Yeah.
But you
had there's a different ore style. The tree, they call them trees for some dumb reason.
They look like trees.
Yeah, they look like trees.
I'll check them.
I think the other place we could go is we got Mark here, and he wants to talk about the FPP change form. And we talked a little bit about that, but he wanted to bring it back to the group today, and hence he's down here.
Any questions on it?
So maybe you want to lay out again, Mark, your...
Sure. I essentially just came down to answer questions that you might have about the changing the screen cleaner timing at Ice Harbor. I think a little bit of history here. I believe, Bill, you probably know, was it 92 or 93, Lower Monumental had the that big influx of wheat chaff come down and plug their primary dewater unit and overflowed the primary dewater and the separator. And with that in mind, we built Ice Harbor in 95, I think it was, and that paranoia was still with us when we're talking about operating the screen cleaner. So at Ice Harbor, they built in several safety measures on the screen cleaner where if there's a differential, and I have those, if there's a differential of 0.15 feet, it initiates a screen cleaner cleaning. And if there's a differential of 0.3 feet, it closes all the orifices in the collection channel except for Unit 1, which provides 30 CFS down the bypass channel. And also, at that time, the emergency closure gate was closed, which would ensure that only 30 CFS would go down the bypass channel so as not to overflow the channel anywhere from the dam to the terminus of the bypass. And then there's a high water alarm. So there are several, made to call them fail-safe, but there are several alarms and things that could happen in Ice Harbor that Lower Monumental did not have when they built it. So what we're seeing is we went through several different generations of trying to improve the screen cleaner at Ice Harbor, but still every year we're plagued with these events that the cable breaks or the something happens. If you look in your packet there, I have some dates and things at the times that they've happened. But to repair this, a person has to go out over the water and 30 CFS at minimum, and then we would be holding fish in the gate wells to make these repairs. It's just not a real friendly place to be over when the river's flowing like it is and we're operating. So what I'm proposing is, like a couple of the other dams, Little Goose and McNary, is leaving this more up to the project bio and giving me some flexibility to be able to reduce the timing on this screen cleaner at a time when we really aren't too concerned about the debris and so forth, as such as when we're operating the bypass for adult fish passage. You know, let me cut that timing back somewhat, so that we're not wearing the screen cleaner out to where we have to go up and repair it. Now, we would check it every year. We check it at the winter maintenance period and replace these cables and so forth so that we're prepared for the next year. But that's essentially what it is, just trying to get a little more flexibility and allowing to set the timing on the screen cleaner. Currently at Ice Harbor, it's a maximum of 1 hour. So we're running that screen cleaner every hour. And we also have a bubbler system underneath it. Activates to remove the debris from it. And we reoriented the screens, the primary dewatering screens themselves. When they first initially built the facility, they were oriented in line with the flow, and we found that they are better oriented perpendicular to the flow, which keeps that screen cleaner than what it did originally. So that's where I'm at.
What till your current operation, and then what you propose to do?
Well, the current operation is we cannot extend the time cleaning past 1 hour. We need to be at least every hour. What I propose to do, what I would do, is monitor it myself. We look at it every morning, and we determine there's a small area, trapezoidal area, where we've got to clean it with a squeegee, and that gives us a good idea of how much is building up on the screen. And if we see a lot of that, well, then I have adjusted it for less than an hour. I've been up half hour or so if there's a lot of debris coming. So it really varies. So I'm looking just for a little more flexibility on the other end of it, where I can lengthen it a little more, like Goose and McNary.
Yeah.
Mark?
Yeah.
So you guys are monitoring on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays as well?
The operators do monitor it, yes.
The operators do?
Yes.
They do with the squeegee as well?
No, they're not doing the squeegee thing, but we have all these differential alarms and so forth, yes. Yes.
So if you did get a slug of something comes down on a Sunday.
Okay.
Is this an alarm? Is this an automatic thing, or is this an alarm where the operator goes, "Oh shoot, I got to go do this"?
Well, actually, both. They would get an alarm, and there again, depending on the differential, would initiate a screen cleaning sequence to try
automatically
okay. to try to remove the debris. Okay. And if the debris wasn't removed as the differential increased, it would close all the orifices in the other units except for unit number one.
Automatically.
Unit number one would remain open, keeping 30 CFS. Which is design flow through the bypass pipe, and the emergency closure gate would close a little bit, still allowing the 30 CFS to go by.
When Lomo had their big deal back in 1992, they did not have these automatic.
They didn't have any of that. I was there. They
so you have a fail-safe in case something catches you off guard.
Exactly.
So what you're doing is, it sounds like it's maybe over,
from
a safety standpoint, an overkill, because
yeah.
you do have a default mechanism should your once every 4 hours not be sufficient.
Yes, yeah. We were all freaked out about Lomo because
sure.
that was quite a And then they built these fail safes in Dice Harbor, but we were all still thinking about.
Does Goose and Granite have these fail safes? Do you know?
I believe.
I don't know if they do or not.
I think doesn't. I know Nick Perry have something that initiates a.
Your outfit has a fail safe mechanism, but yet you do it more than anybody else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. That's interesting.
Does the fail safe system work?
Yes.
Is there a button you can push to simulate a head loss? And
we test the system each before startup every year. Yep. The electronics technician comes up and we'll raise the water levels and so forth and make sure everything's working. Yes.
So long and short, you're just looking to extend your possible cleaning time cycle to what's an upper end? Docking like maybe clean instead of every hour and clean every 3 hours?
Six.
We can really judge that depending on, you know, the amount of debris that we have coming down. But you could put a 6 hour, sure. I would feel uncomfortable going every 6 hours, to tell you the truth, because I still worry about it.
I just make sure you put in like an upper limit, because I mean, so on the weekend when you have the operators there, if they get swamped or that kind of stuff and they don't have a chance to get there on time, it would be nice to at least know that like every, pick your favorite number, 4 or 6 hours, they automatically clean. I'd be totally fine with that. Put that in there, and then
Bonneville has a 1, 3, and 6 hour cleaning cycle that you guys adjust when depending on the project.
Depending on the debris.
Project by adjust that.
Exactly.
The debris load.
Yeah, if you want to do something like that, totally.
Okay.
I'm okay with the
maximum too. You want to go with like Bonneville a 6?
Yeah.
That works too.
That's up to you.
That's fine.
If you want to do that, like Bonneville has, like I think so. You have 1, 3, and 6 hour. Every 1, 3, and 6 hours, it cleans. You determine like this. We haven't seen debris for weeks. We can go to every 6 hours.
Exactly.
Great.
Exactly.
Medium debris 3.
So between 1 to 6 hours.
Exactly.
That's what that Bonneville setup is. It seems to be
actually not between one. Between 0 to 6 hours, right? Because I might want to go less than one.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So that's going to be something in writing in the fish passage.
Give you a fish passage plan.
Yeah. Needs to modify the.
So next year in the fish passage plan, this would be modified.
But
I guess he's looking for it right now as well.
Yeah.
So it's a modification. It'll go in writing next year. But if everyone agrees, then he would implement it this year.
It's in writing right now. He just needs to modify his change form as to what we just discussed here,
yeah,
and put that into the fish passage plan, and he can start implementing it right now. This change form will show up in next year's FPB.
Okay, good. Thanks.
I was thinking four hours.
4 hours? We'll take that.
Because when you retire, I don't know how much it's going to be.
Exactly.
Six hours until he's retired, and then it goes back to 4 hours.
Yeah.
It goes back to an hour.
That's a good point.
So, Mark, when is your heavy debris? Is there a specific time of year which debris is heavy?
Spring.
The milfoil is not an issue?
No, you know where we see the milfoil is in that south fish ladder. But no, we don't see it.
So the debris in the springtime, like right now.
Yes.
And it's woody debris?
It's kind of a mixture, Steve. It's
crud.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's not ever shad.
No. No, we don't see a lot of them. We do see some dead shad when we unwater at the end of the season, but it's not that.
We're still not.
Yeah, that
issue.
No. So 4 hours, Bill?
Yeah.
4 hours, okay? 0 to 4?
Sounds like it, because they were good with 6. So
they were good with 6,
four.
Yeah. So make it 0 to 4.
0 to 4 is fine, yeah.
Okay. 0 to 4. Hey, revise the form. Send it to me.
Yes.
I'll send it out. Okay.
Okay. So before we leave the FPP change forms, you have something else?
No, just more like it was another. I had a discussion yesterday with some of the TAC people talking about crowders and possible ideas, and we can talk about that later. But I noticed when I looked at the because I was trying to figure out what the maximum crowder, how close the crowder would be, what the maximum is. It just specifically thought about, I cannot find that in the FPP. It seems like we should probably have that designated for all projects in the FPP to describe the crowder, the closest this project is 18 inches, and when it's pushed out, it's the maximum is this. We don't have it. I couldn't find it for Bonneville.
I don't think I've seen it either.
Yeah, I remember that last year. Was
so we're not going to do a change form on that. I'm just going to put it in.
It's going to implement it. That's just good.
So what were you saying, minimum 18?
No, I wanted to, like, at certain projects, I don't think it's standardized.
at some projects it can be closer, at other projects it's farther. It would be just nice to have it in there, so when people come and ask me, say, hey, the crowd are at this, seems to be really close, why is that, does that cause a problem? I can't tell them, like, oh, that's 18 inches, that's standardized. I couldn't find in the FPP of what, at which projects crowder distances.
You know,
at one point we have established 18 was the minimum.
Yeah, that is.
It's not in the FPP though. It would be good to have.
Yeah, all I want to know is what your minimum and what the maximum is, and I will put it in there.
There you go.
Well, the maximum is the whole tank.
Right.
Yeah. So the minimum is all you need. So 18 inches.
So it just depends on the tank size. It's only the minimum.
I think that's what it is. In the state,
so he's asking for the tank size by projects to be identified.
Tank size, and then say, and if 18 inch is the minimum, pop that in there, be done with it.
I think they need fixed in place 18.
I'm not sure that all of them will stop you at 18. Like, I'm not sure at Goose if it will necessarily. Is it?
I think they're fixed.
Okay, so they stop at 10.
We fixed ours.
They're talking JFS. You're talking digital fishing?
Yeah, we're talking. Yeah.
Oh, I think
they're confused.
Yeah, we're supposed to
adult crowders. Okay, adult crowders. Crowders at the count station.
Count station crowders.
I don't think people care about juvenile crowders.
That's what I'm saying, 18 inch minimum.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out what you meant by tank. We're going tank.
Okay, sorry. Okay. Well.
Could I just bring up one more thing? I know it's I just want to throw this in because it's been bothering me for a long time. At Ice Harbor, we're looking at constructing a new fish trap. And one of the concerns from NOAA is the fish trap, it has to be able to transfer the adults from the trap into the anesthetic tank in water. No nets.
Right.
At Ice Harbor, every year, at the end of the year, we net up to 100 fish. Out of the bypass. There's no other way to get them out of there. They're holding there every year when we had water, and we're netting them out.
You're using sanctuary nets, all right?
No. You could. I don't think you could lift a sanctuary net with the size of these fish. They're huge. So there's been talk about a crowder or something to kick these fish out of the juvenile channel every once in a while might be a good idea. I don't know how long they're staying in the collection channel, but we've got to net them, put them in a bucket, lift them up by crane. If I dump them into the forebay, then they'll go right back into the. Then they're in the gate wells all
that's
year, right?
Right.
They're in the gate wells. So I transport them. Now I got to transport them.
Yeah, you
release
transport
them somewhere.
Mary have some type of crowder for their juvenile collection channel?
I think most of the other projects have what they call an emergency bypass, where they're able to remove the grating and kick those fish out. They're bypassed. We can't do that in Ice Harbor. We don't have anything like that.
Design flaw. Fix it. What you're doing is what was historically done at all the projects until they started using that conduit. So it was about 2000 at Goose. They started using that conduit. Before that, it was always a recovery.
It was always a recovery thing, yes.
Yeah, it was all handling.
So, Mark, this is at the end of the year, at the end of the season, we're dewatering the bypass.
And I have some historical numbers if you want to take a peek at them.
What we've done.
Yeah, every year we're handling all these steelhead.
So 100 to 300 or?
Oh, it's been about 100. It varies. I've tried several different things. I even constructed this little air device that I could throw in and pull it down the channel as a bubble curtain to try and kick them out ahead of unwatering. It didn't work.
Need the dynamite.
Dynamite, yeah, that's a good sound.
So you get these guys cornered in the JBS channel, and then you guys go in and dip them out.
There's an invert where the channel is, and then as we unwater, as the water recedes, we go into there when we have enough water to chase them around and net them out.
Yeah.
Just kind of raise the flag when you're talking about the fish trap at Ice Harbor.
Yeah, there's a better way of doing it.
I think so.
And using a sling, if nothing else, we can use a sling rather than a net.
Well, we use a sling with the worst.
Getting them into it is
obviously. Yeah, it's.
You know, these guys are pretty energized.
They are. And we've had people hurt their backs. You get a big fish or two, it's not a good situation.
Right.
So this probably needs to go to fitter with you guys.
Oh, yeah, this is fun design.
Okay, thanks. That's it?
Yep, okay.
All right, I did my job.
So, yeah, Vern came, kicked me, caught me not reining you in
so
on the center wing item.
That's what he's
Good idea. Right.
Yeah.
Come up with
another way to do
it. The only other thing as we move across here that you might want to hit on, just as we're working Vern and his group in, is the North Powerhouse entrance one and two issue. Do you want to?
I can a little bit about it. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. The amount of spill that we have at Ice Harbor in the pattern is taking quite a toll on the center powerhouse fish entrance and also our north. Our north fish entrance. What happens is the eddy in effect and the water coming back from the spill creates quite a pressure on our fish weir entrance, and it holds it in place and will not allow it to either raise or lower automatically. So what we have done is we've had those weirs put in manual, and then the operators, and of course when we do our inspections, if there's a problem with it, we'll either raise or lower to bring it back into criteria if it's out of criteria. One of the problems associated with that is to do that, we've got to shut the fish pumps off. And because of the differential, we can't move that weir until the fish pumps are off, and then we either lower it or raise it. Now sometimes it becomes stuck like it has in the center fishway weir here recently, to where when the fish pumps or it would be shut off, we couldn't move it. It actually bent the picking mechanism of the center fishway weir. So yesterday it was coordinated to shift the spill from the south over towards the north, away from the center fishway entrance, and place bulkheads and put fish entrance number one into criteria. And I spoke with the operator just a little while ago before the meeting started, and that was successful. They were able to do that. It took about an hour duration to do that. However, they had problems then with the spill, getting it to readjust. So they said that took about 5 hours to get the spill back to where it needed to be. I didn't get the details on that yet, Greg. But 1 hour to get the bulkheads in and switch to that entrance, which is important because the center entrance probably doesn't get used that much, but the center and the south are hydraulically connected. So the south entrances is the entrance that we want to make sure that the south entrance is operating. So by not being able to adjust the center, our south entrance is going out of criteria in and out periodically. So we should be okay now.
Okay, good.
But just it continues every year with these entrances and the amount of spill.
Okay. Is there a plan?
You'd probably have to reline.
Well, the thing is, this is how it explained to me. Since that's a double leaf weir, which is included on the coordination form, they're going to have to get a diver out there to get the chains to lift that weir back up. Well, with spill going on, they can't put a diver down there at all, so they're not going to be able to do any work at all on that weir until after spill season.
So it's a fix for next year, the year after that.
Well, if you look at the criteria for Ice Harbor Center Weir, you use one weir, the other one's closed. So what we did is we just reversed that. Now we got one weir closed, and the other one is in operation.
Closed and bulkheaded off.
So it shouldn't be out of compliance, Mark, should. I mean, it was...
Unless something happens
something
to the other
happens.
Weir. Yeah.
So probably this, probably going to look at this thing.
Is it a design flaw with the weir or something? I mean,
I don't think they were ever designed for that.
The way the spill's
going
back on that thing, it's pushing up against the weir, against the wall to hang it up.
Which brings...
But they're wheeled, right?
Yes,
these are wheeled.
It's one cable, Bob, that goes around, and then it kind of picks the cable up and lifts the entire.
Right.
So, and that's another problem because of the way it picks, it lifts up, it lifts it all up at one time. Yeah. But I was.
It doesn't break the two sides. It lifts up the one at the one time.
Yeah. So in a way,
it's the lift itself, and that's where it drags up against the wall and gets kinked out.
So one of the things we did is because we were having a similar problem, and they put a wheel on that would face the outside, so it wouldn't drag if it tilted. Still hit a wheel.
Let me show you the picture. Well, I'll send you the pictures that I received on this thing, and you can see the difference that's going on.
But it might be something to consider too. Is in the fish passage plan, they tell us to operate in that particular entrance, spillway entrance number two. Fish entrance number two. maybe we should be closing two and using one just to prevent that from happening. I'm not, you know, I...
Has there been studies that way?
I think the studies have shown that number two was the one the fish use most often, but I don't know what the effect would be if we shifted to one and didn't use two. It might be something for you guys to consider.
So the spill doesn't push on number two? I mean, does number one, it's far enough over?
There again,
don't know.
I don't know.
You think they won't be impacted by the spill?
So yeah, but it's further away from the spill. So I don't know.
Yeah, and how logical is it that adult passage, because they're so close, would be impacted of one weir versus the other? It seems like the entrance is important, the location of the overall entrance, but the specific weir seems like it would be
If your spill water is coming through and siphoning back and pushing into the fish ladder,
and if it pushes,
it may not be much of a traction if the water's going the wrong direction. So in this case, maybe two might work better because fish might be able to pick it up.
It might. More visible attraction.
Yeah, I mean, because if your water's going into your ladder, that's not.
It just specifies which weirs to operate in the fish passage plans.
Right. So we can, why don't we watch? We got data for annually looking at our counts and stuff like that. If something looks like it's changing with using the other weir this year, then we'll have to reconsider. But otherwise, let's just think about changing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And on the north also then, Ann? Because we have the same problem.
Sure. I mean, we need a weir open. We need to maintain the channel and criteria. But
when we have the adult study, we could do something. We could check this.
I was just going to say, how are you going to check it otherwise without a study? All you're doing is just punching the thought.
Yeah.
Well, we got to have actual study to figure out which one's
open. If we have both serviceable and operatable, maybe during that study we could use one for a while.
That's good. That's good.
So you want to make sure they're serviceable.
Well, then maybe you want to go to Fitterwig and ask to make them both serviceable prior to your study.
Another Fitterwig.
Yeah.
Another Fitterwig, yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
You're giving us some work. Good. We've got to get you here more often.
We can get them to rehab it, you know, change it. If you've got something new that's different than that, I think that will qualify it back over rather than just the straight rehab. So when you make changes.
I attended the original meeting.
So. Generally, we're able to that route. I don't know. We could try.
Yeah. It's kind of like floating corpuses, maybe.
All right, let's get moving here.
Hey, man.
Hey, I'm.
What do you mean? We just about got all the Walla Walla stuff done.
Let's wrap Walla Walla up, and you guys can move.
Whoa, yes.
Well, it has been a lot of Walla Walla.
Really, if you guys are that close, you can wrap it up.
I'm about ready to close my office.
Well, no, this is real good for a change to go to Walla Walla.
Really,
usually I'm sitting here until noon.
This is really boring.
Falling asleep.
Yes, I like it.
I think we're done for now.
You got one.
We got one more in here?
Yeah.
Well, another one.
Just one little thing.
No.
It's a coordination one. Yeah, so that's what I'm expecting.
Okay.
No.
So
it's thank you.
So
next.
Wait. Don't get her fired up.
What was the final decision on this last coordination form that we just did?
Which one?
Goes to Fitter.
Ice Harbor 03, North Carolina's entrance 1 and 2. Lots of talking.
Lots of talking, and the result was they could study it next year.
Yeah, they'll study it.
Study it, and we'll look at it and look at past year's data. We're not going to make a change this year.
We're going to operate in a new condition.
Does that mean I'm going to release those adults downstream of Ice Harbor?
Can you look at it and make sure it's operating properly? I mean, you know, after the season, can you pull it out and make sure that the guides are...
I believe they do go through they should be going through a maintenance and all those weirs during the winter months. They do
the guides seem like a logical place to maybe consider a change or an upgrade.
Well, they should check your guys.
They do, Ed, but that window is so short to get all that stuff done.
And the weir.
Well, whoever, your mechanical will be down there.
Yeah. They can
either bless it and say, yeah, it's in proper working. If it's in proper working order and you still can't move it, then it's a design flaw.
That's what happens. It's the because of the spill. We were never, back in the early 90s, we weren't spilling like we are currently, and everything was working fine. But now that we have that amount of spill and that pressure back on those weirs, and I've put those weirs in manual.
You got 18 inches of head across the weir. You don't have back pressure on it.
It's Oh, they're banging.
They might be banging.
They're banging.
There's no. I mean, you got.
It's like when they constant head pressure.
There's not.
The maintenance crew is telling me they cannot lift that. They cannot free that weir until they shut the fish pumps off because of the pressure on it. And the pressure could be coming from the
fish pumps. I mean, to lower the head on the weir.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So the pressure's not from the spill.
No, the banging. I think the banging's from the spill.
Something's wrong with your gate.
Yeah. Right. Well, the guides, maybe the guides are wore out or something.
The guides or the wheels or something.
The wheels are grooves that are now in the
guides. So next year during maintenance, you pull it, look at the drawings, take measurements, do it, grease it, do whatever you got to do, and
you are a wild
guy. I'm getting awesome. A lot of head pressure right now.
Well, I guess what we were looking to do is to see if there was any way that we could kick this back to some sort of a design upgrade, maybe for CRFM to look at.
I think you definitely could. I would go in there and figure out what's wrong with it first. Why is it? I mean,
so identify the problem. So we need a scope that better identifies whether we have worn guides.
And that's gonna come from here. I've asked for similar things, but. I've asked for similar things, and this will come from this will help a lot.
Come from O&M.
Yes.
Yeah. This goes better.
You have our blessing. Go forth.
Excellent. All right.
You okay, Dan? Okay, you got that.
Okay, Vern. You can. We have one more thing, and then we'll let you guys start talking. Okay. So, pre-filter.
Thanks for doing that.
Coordination form on pre-filters.
Lower Monumental
Dam. We received this quick little small cap project. Here's on page number 12. A quick little small cap to replace the pre-filters on all the turbine units. Most of them, actually all of them, will be put on, except for one, will be put on the units during their normal maintenance cycle this year. So it wouldn't be causing any outage. However, this one here, unit number 3.
Do you want to do it right now?
They'd like to do it pretty quick.
June
11th is the date that they designed to do it. And they looked at that on the 16th? No.
So I'll start a little earlier. He's actually still on right now.
But they'd like to go ahead and replace that pre-filter on the unit number 3 on the 11th of June. They looked over fish passageway and stuff like that. You know, it's no biggie. But they want to make sure they can cut it out. The only difference is unit 3... It's priority. It's going to be out of line. That's just, they want the blessing on that.
What pre-filter?
How long is
the priority?
It's going to take about one day.
Long outage is what they're asking for?
Yeah. One day.
Okay.
Ask Gail.
One more thing on this. Greg brings up a good point. We need to write up somewhere what unit priority means. We're getting a lot of questions this year on projects balking about not running unit priority. Mm-hmm. And we have it so you can run, you keep going down the list, but they're stopping and stopping. Like, go to your next meeting.
Yeah.
So we may need to clarify what that means in the fish passage plan because it's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know, multiple dams this year for some reason. Someone
runs in this order.
So what you're saying is there's an outage. So unit 4 is out, and it tells unit 4 to be next. They're stopping, they don't know what to do. They're
calling and asking RCC or they're.
They want to make sure.
They're asking the scheduler, I can't turn that unit on. Like, well, why not? It's out of sequence. Well, it's not in service, so go to the next
one. Yeah, I do get questions about that.
Well, at least they're trying to follow the directions.
Yeah, but they're being a little bit more open on it, let's say.
In addition, there are some new circumstances, like at Jiangdei, some of the units are pinned, and it changes their operational preference.
It's for some reason this year someone must have said something to somebody, because they're all gun-shy to go to the next
Well, there was a couple things as we were going into the season about unit priority where people were starting to jump around a little bit that we might have got them a little goosey. So,
Something's up. So I just we need to clarify somewhere what's
up. So make a note to update the fish passage plan with the language. You can let's review it.
And distribute it to the operators.
And then make an operator. Put a change form in that make it
clear. I think that's a good idea. Because they don't have to go through his chief.
Right.
And those two people are the ones that run the dam. Supposedly.
I'll have to just do a meeting here later this afternoon. I'm actually not leaving, but.
Yeah, I use your gym. That's
that's how my day. You know how you wake
I
up
have
in the day
all the time.
Yeah, this doesn't feel good.
But Scott, we may have to be specific here. Maybe do it per dam because, like in general,
yeah,
it should be different.
Yeah, and we'll have to have them read and sign it off.
It's
maybe.
Showing up everywhere.
Do you have a definition of increment two?
No, I don't. Sorry.
Did it start at low mill?
I know.
Questions?
There you go.
There's
a lot of it. It's just like malfunctioned out. 10 GS15s in a room and an overhead projector.
Yeah, I don't know why it's a problem.
It's a kernel.
Yeah, it's that
okay, good. I think we got it.
I don't know, but I think we get stuck on it.
Yeah, well.
Number
one, you have one more change form for Walla Walla just to cover our base with the little goose.
Oh, Christ.
Conversation where everyone decided to manage it in season because right now we have the 85 KCFS threshold. So we'll need to define how we're going to manage it in season for the next year. Just to change it from. You know what I'm talking about?
I think that assumes that we have to do a coordination in the next few weeks. And at this point, what we're saying is we're not sure that we're going to. We think it's fairly likely that we might. But I think,
we're going to run.
If and when we do, we have to do a coordination, an emergency coordination, then that information will feed into a recommendation for the fish passage plan for next year, one would assume.
Okay.
So. Okay, good to have on the radar.
Thank you.
But we're done. Bird, go ahead.
Okay, so we're going to start up Portland. Sorry I was late. I'm late. But I'm
much
here.
Better with
sorry
you.
I'm here.
There you go.
Sorry I'm here. Here I answer. There. Okay, so I assume nothing has been done for Portland yet, but is there any add-ons for Portland that we need to talk about?
The only thing that was done for Portland was what Lori was here for.
Okay. Any add-ons?
We got one add-on for midpoint operation of the second park.
Oh, it's added on?
Yes, but it's for Burns.
Midpoint.
Tops, B2.
On number 5.
Okay. I think it's written on the agenda somewhere. All right. We're going to add it.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, action items.
Be quick, son.
I'm going to go as quick as I can. All right. Updated. 211 is done. Avian lines. You get those two lines missing at...
Again, still missing. Hopefully they will be... they will be installed as soon as next week. Those are lines of very little consequence. They're adjacent, but the powerhouse lines, there are no birds in that area yet. And even the numbers of the birds just picked up the last weekend, but they're all in the spillway.
When do you plan to put them back up?
As soon as next week. Awesome. The project is working.
All right. Fixed blade units.
I have an update on that.
You have an update. Tammy will talk about the TSP group. We'll provide drawings, et cetera.
Yeah, what I got, update that I got from Rare said from Medina is that the blades for both units 5 and 11 are presently blocked in place at 29 degrees. At the end of the spring freshet, sometime in late June or early July, unit 11 will be taken offline, the blocks removed, and the blades permanently pinned in place. A decision of whether or not unit 5 will remain a Kaplan or be converted to a fixed blade propeller is yet to be made. So no drawings, but they are going to pin it rather than block it.
Okay. Speaking of those that don't know, John Gorsuch has been hired under the Fish Passage team.
Is he permanent now?
Permanent under backfilling when Schwartz's position.
Okay.
And I think Ben's got somebody coming on board at Bonneville as well.
The add-on to that, which is that the idea was to add metal to this. Turn those into a MGR unit that's been put off.
Good.
That's been put off until we can use the one.
I just there are just a question with those lines of John Day's. Are they inspected regularly? I mean, just looking at them, I mean, it looks like there's definitely some wear. I'm not trying to stand around them too long, but you know, it might just be worth taking a little gander at.
Well,
I mean, maybe I'm just.
Oh, we have
just look a little. Like there's definitely some
bubbles.
Yeah, well, it looks a little thinner right there towards little ways out.
I have looked, and this is new material. We really don't know yet. We're waiting for the engineering to provide us with some criteria. This is new material. It's really, the design called for them to be durable. They were not supposed to be breaking that often. They were supposed to be strong. This is Kevlar material, but we'll see what happens.
Might want to take a little look.
Right, we are looking, but
get the engineer out there.
Yeah. Have you seen any that are actually breaking, or are they just fray?
They
what
just
do you see?
Look a little thinner. There's like some dents. Like
the critical part, my understanding, is in those new lines is the splicing on the ends. If you mean close to the ends, or you mean like in the middle of the line,
this was right
away from the splice.
This was a foot away from the spool.
Yeah,
it's a little
ways out
from the spool.
Well, that would be material fault, I guess. Yeah. That's nothing.
Yeah. It was thinner.
It was looked like brain, right? that part looked like it was
my understanding is that the warranty period has ended already, so we'll need more money because they're pretty expensive, by the way, to replace. They're not going to be holding up as anticipated. We'll be forking out some pretty good money. That's going to be for Baron again to handle, but so far we have only two missing.
The good side is they are actually working.
I have
your engineer out there quick and see if you need something this winter. I was out there Tuesday and your birds were all in the way.
Again, it's pending. All those questions are pending, but we haven't seen any evidence of massive breaking or faulty material yet. I mean, this is the first time I'm hearing that. Yeah, I've been a little bit, I think the appearance can be somewhat misleading, but we'll have to wait. You may be correct.
I just thought I'd mention.
Yeah. And the stretching problem was addressed. Yeah. Yeah. Stretching. Yeah.
Maybe you can get a picture of that and send it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there is, snap some photos.
Maybe we can work together and show me.
And what area are you talking about?
We were on the north side.
Yeah, the north side, John Day.
Those are the spillway, the long lines.
Yeah,
because
they're
basically, the grid is divided into two parts. Spillway lines go across the river, they're
right.
The longest and they're most vulnerable.
Got to have a lot of stress on it.
They also thicker diameter than the power.
Mayor, are you going to need any special operations for the stringing of the lines, modifying tail race conditions to string the lines? Are you going to need that?
Yeah, we're waiting for engineering now. Again,
okay.
Guidelines because of the material there's special methods of installation and handling.
Okay.
Well, now he was talking the two that you need to replace. Are you going to need special operations to put those two in?
For example,
with normal operations or
no.
When you have boats running around the tail race.
That could be done as easily as unhooking the adjacent line and just using it as a lead and bringing it back.
Oh, okay.
There you go, Doug.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah. Thanks for the clarification, Tom.
Yeah.
I knew where you were going.
Yeah.
Okay, 214.
Probably the facilitator when I grow up.
Yeah.
Bonneville Gantry 7. FPOM generally approves, but Bonneville needs to give concurrence. Scott will send an email to Tammy as soon as he gets that.
Did you know?
We're okay with one unit. The question still remains, though, can you clean a unit during that period from August through...
Yes, because the tight crane will be used to clean the BBSs.
You can do the one unit.
We cannot pull STSs, but we can clean BBSs.
Sure.
So if an STS goes down,
then
goes
then
down.
You're up a creek.
Finally, it's easy to use that tight crane.
Unless it's windy. 15.
Awesome. Okay. So, yeah, we're okay with the one unit. Yeah.
When you screen, we'll talk about corn like a layer.
Okay. The next one is the avian contingency plan, and I was going to work on with Nathan on a trigger, and we have that, but I don't have it printed.
It is.
Yeah, you've got
it.
Good. My printer was down.
I just got it off the email. And his recommendation.
A participant has left the conference.
Let's see. Ooh. So right now, just for an update, we have one vote at the Dalles.
Yep. At John Day.
Is it John Day now?
Well, we have one vote at John Day. We brought it down to the Dalles this week because there was no birds at John Day.
Right.
But
until
the birds
this week,
at John Day just showed
they
up.
They arrived. No.
Okay. So now they're going to take their vote.
And we have the equal number or
still,
more
do
at John Day.
Do you still need it, you think?
Who's got worse? Who's got worse?
We have over 100.
Yeah. So we also have that. No.
I didn't. Well, I saw, okay, Tuesday when I looked at it, there was maybe 75 at John Day. I'd say about 300 in the Dalles.
Oh, okay.
So that was Tuesday afternoon. The Dalles was really, maybe, but that's what I saw.
But that day, hazing was taking place at John Day.
Well, it could be. I hope so. Yeah, it should be. But still,
yeah, the boat came down.
On Monday was at the Dalles.
But you guys don't have bank hazing as well?
Where?
We do.
They do.
Right, but you could actually get out of those birds were thick
in
there, so.
Yeah, we can reach them, but it's not as effective as boats.
No,
that's
so you're below the bridge.
At John Day, there's no shore hazing because it's ineffective.
It's too far.
Is there any hazing on the weekend?
Yeah, 7 days a week.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Same as at John Day.
I was out there Sunday and I didn't see any hazing.
Well, I think the point is that
it's only an 8-hour shift.
You got a very easy flight time between those two dams, and you've got
and that's been moving
400 or 500 gulls that are hanging out there.
Yeah.
So wherever you're not working, they're going to be.
I think luckily for us this year, the migration was somewhat protected by high flows earlier, because I was surprised that I didn't see birds earlier. They only arrived last weekend.
Well, you know, I mean, that's
before
their nesting season is just taking off, and the fish are gone, so it'll be a lean year for some of these places.
That's good.
We still need to maintain.
So which would we prioritize if they're both going to be problematic?
Well, you can bring them.
You can reach them. You can reach them at the Dalles.
So you're thinking John Day probably.
But John Day, you.
No, John, I mean, that's,
you,
that's
you
can't reach them.
The only thing I was wondering is though, but the wires are much more extensive and much more effective at John Day. So you just pray the wires are effective at John Day and do more boating at the Dalles, or do you put the boat at the Dalles?
Well, the wires are pretty effective at both, from what I saw. I mean, both, there were very few gulls above the bridge at
right.
the Dalles.
They're working.
And, I mean, there's a few up there, but they're working pretty good. And the same thing with John Day. I didn't see any birds above the wires. There are a few that are trying to get under them in the end, but,
yeah.
But all of that's well downstream of the project. So,
so if you're going to prioritize, which one you prioritize?
Well, you put a boat up at John Day and you start hazing Dan Basin. If there's a problem, we bring on the other one.
Bring on the other
boat. Bring on another boat. Additional boat.
Bring up boats.
Are they locked and loaded with another boat? Because the impression I had, they are not.
Well,
from Chad.
My impression was that he could have one there within 2 days.
So. Why don't you verify that? And
I'm verifying.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you don't prioritize. You just have to go with the boat.
Yeah,
if that's the case, in my opinion, that should have been requested by the Dalles for their purpose. Because when we had our boat hazing at the Dalles, they were able to effectively remove all the gulls were gone with combination of shore and boat hazing at the Dalles.
It's a money issue.
On Monday, I think it was last Monday.
Well, not that I really want to go back to this, but if you do have two boats, would you want to prioritize between John Day and the Dalles and have another boat go a little farther up north, farther east, up to some Project McNary, I think?
Whoa.
That has no wires. That has no wires?
Oh.
Yeah. That means while Portland District would have to coordinate. I know, that would be crazy talk, but there is that option.
Well, we could talk to Chad.
Because I'd say right now, probably worst location is going to be an area that has no wires to protect anything.
Chad
Hauser, he's the program manager.
Chad Hauser.
Yeah.
We'll do the right thing. Don't worry.
Uh-huh.
All right, as always. Thanks, sir.
Sure.
Helpful now.
Yeah, well, we're done.
We're from the government.
you need effective hazing at all three projects. I can't prioritize. You can't kill them here, kill them there. I mean, it is a matter of priority. It's a matter of doing that.
Another thing at the Dalles too, when we're spilling outside, that pushes those birds, when we're outside of the wall,
right,
pushes the birds way downstream. I don't know if that's good or bad, because we don't want to be outside the wall, but
right.
That seems to be a benefit of still yeah. outside the wall. Is pushing
Bay 9 is not my which one?
No, Bay there's nine, nothing outside the wall now, but when you get outside the wall, then you get the other side of it. That's the,
but
we've
had a lot of spill outside the wall.
They have.
Yeah. We've had the whole spillway, all available gates were operating several times already.
I don't know what that was. Yeah, on Tuesday or Wednesday, on my way up the river last week, God, it was spilling all the way across
the
whatever
yeah.
was on.
The only ones not on
were the tagged out. Yeah, pushed the birds yeah. way down below the bridge.
Yeah, it moves the birds down.
Stream,
well, yeah.
total river flow is huge, too.
But yeah, it's yeah. so a lot of
there's
flow.
Different things that are going on. The
spill patterns or
response is changing as we speak.
But when the hazers were out there, I mean, they were reaching them at the bridge, but then as soon as it went outside the wall, you got any amount of spill outside the wall, those birds are pretty much on the ring for rockets.
So, Bob, do you know why the spill dropped so much on the 8? It was pretty significant.
That has a gas cap.
Gas cap issue yeah. at the Dalles and Bonneville Ford Bay, the Hillsdale races.
Yeah, boy, it dropped
a lot of fish, too.
Yeah,
yeah.
That, there was like a record sure. number of fish that passed the North Platte that day.
42% was the north side on that
one day.
Day, which was pretty, it's not really
well,
unusual if you get...
If you get it down.
Spill levels drop below around 90K, which is what it was, that's what we see. I've been seeing that for years, but we're at the wall end, so that's not unusual.
Yeah, but then we'll see.
And it's unusual for the, you know, looking
right.
at it from day to day.
Well, you have one day that's like
if you
way
understand
out of everything else.
The, what's going on there, at that level, yes. we see high passage.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's usually been around 80, I think. So
80 to 90, yeah, right in that area.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure why it was done.
Okay.
Once you get up to 100, then it starts to
clear out.
I've been graphing that and looking at it for years. You got to look at it with daytime spill. Don't do average, daily average spill. That
erroneous.
And erroneous assumptions. We need to cover the tail races of all these dams. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
It's either that or we're failing. Yeah. If there's a failure to meet the buyout requirement. Then we'd have to go through another route. You know, but what I've said in the Avian meetings is that we leave the goal issue and the goal issue of the dams up to the projects and the O&M and the terns and cormorants we're going after with a different approach. That's a population-based approach versus
that was fine, you know, from the standpoint of your Avian management plan. I guess the only thing, new places, like in our case, transport limits where we can put wires, particularly at McNary where we're having the increased issue.
Transport at McNary, don't worry about that.
That's
okay. So if and when that changes, though, by pushing that too hard at O&M, we don't allow other people to pick up the tab to some extent, too, so I guess...
Well, how we do it, but I mean, the point is that we need
to... I'm okay with it not being in the management plan, but, you know, if there's a better way to fund it, especially if we're going to put in new big towers and types of things that cost a lot of money, I'd rather go the CRIFM route that they did downstream. So,
okay.
Just keep that in mind.
Well, that's...
I'm good with... Yeah, as we're able to make operational changes there, then we'll look into that.
Otherwise, you need hazing. If you don't have wires, you're going to have to do what they did at the Dalles or John Day a couple years ago without the wires. And you go after birds as much as you can with hazers, boats.
Can we get
boats.
A lethal take permit since they seem to get, they have one for 50 gulls down in the estuary?
Yeah,
why couldn't we get one at a
McDonald's? Those are bully gulls.
Bully gulls, yeah.
bully gulls.
Well, you guys
I
got
really
bully gulls,
I laughed my butt off when I saw it. Heard that on the today.
Did you hear bully gull? Is that what they said?
Yeah. Well, they're pulling the turns.
The new species?
So we got to step in and take care of that, too. Slippery slope.
So we need to find some small critter that the gulls are bullying up inland, and so that we can use that as leverage to have people take.
Well, I mean, we did have had lethal take permits for the gulls upstream, too. So that's... And that should still be on the table.
Well, that
I think it's
part of that EA that I know the Corps was piggybacking with USDA, DIS, with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Dave isn't here.
I'm just saying, it seems like U.S. Fish should be giving out 50 fish death kills for goals pretty willy-nilly right now. Might as well go ask for one of them.
Well, it's crazy not to.
Ice Harbor also, if you do that,
Say anything.
When we tried that a few years ago for the program we were doing, we had to piggyback because actually U.S. Fish and Wildlife said no.
Right.
They're not that certain that gull populations are that high, or they don't have any records of it. I mean, I don't know the details, but it was just...
Well, I think we can throw it back in their face. If they went and said, well, these gulls are causing problems for terns down the estuaries, they wouldn't kill 50 of them.
No argument.
I'm going...
No argument.
Last time I checked, terns aren't listed.
But they listed salmon. They were willing to give out another permit.
Don't get me started.
Well, I think we need to go back down that road. Yeah, this is a situation where we can't... Either we're going to do that, or we're going to go after the birds on the islands.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and that's the other way. I said, don't do that, not now, but if we can't take care of the problem at the dams, then Nathan, I'll cut Nathan loose.
Robert, you guys then pulled birds off of their take from upriver, right, to put them down.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Right. So we don't have to take upriver.
So there is that EIS being completed. I don't know where they're at, but I'll find out Paul Schmidt from our district.
Okay. Yeah.
Non-lethal.
Well, we certainly need responses at the dam. They need to be effective responses. That's all I know. The rest of it needs to work itself out somehow.
I didn't hear this.
We certainly don't have it. I'm not so sure that what I'm seeing at the Dalles or John Day concerns me a huge amount. One, I watched those birds for a long time. And they're just spending a lot of time just circling around. They're not just exercising themselves, but they seem to be. I mean, I don't know. They weren't very effective. And when one bird went after a fish, the whole flock tended to go after that one. Like, it was, oh, my God, there's a fish. Mm-hmm. Where at McNary, it was just a constant hitting of the surface by birds. They weren't fighting each other. They were just hit, boom, boom, boom.
My impression is Bonneville, there's more gull predation than I've seen in a lot of years. And, again, not seeing but hearing what's going on at the Dalles John Day, I think we've got more predation going on at Bonneville.
Well, do you really? I didn't see any there at all on Tuesday when I went through. That was the least of the gulls. I saw gulls, but they were all sitting on the Navlog.
It might have been just after a hazing event or something.
Could be.
They come and go. You know.
Yeah, but I know, but I've tend to hang around for a while and watch these things. I didn't stay very long at Bonneville. It was getting too late, and the gulls might have been deciding it was time to call it a day anyway, but they were sitting on on the sluiceway, the ice.
Right.
They're
definitely sitting there
for an half hour.
So it sounds like the question still stands. Do we need to get more at the Dalles right now?
Yeah. It does.
I would recommend that. Because based on the early season indication, if you have already so many birds, it's not going to get any easier for a while.
Well, the thing is, if you don't do something, they'll start to defeat the wires, too.
Well,
that's the thing that you don't want them to do.
Yeah, exactly. Because the wires don't work standalone.
Right.
They need some reason. It doesn't have to be sometimes a lot, but it requires.
That's why I'd like to see a few shots.
Across this one out.
So, Bern, I have a call in the chat already. I'm seeing what he can do.
Dial me in there when you do talk to him. So, let's move on, because Tom said he has to leave soon. We have a lot of issues.
Okay.
Spillbane 9 trunnion pin. I talked to the OPM and hasn't provided me any kind of numbers or times, but I've been working on getting funds. Do you know, have you talked with Ron about what the plan is? Spillbane 9 trunnion pin installed.
Have left the conference. Oh.
I've been told it could be up to 6 months in a contract.
Yes.
So
that's out the numbers I got. 6 months just to plan it.
Awesome. Is this something you guys can do in-house or is it?
No, contract.
Awesome.
It's probably, we will see probably an increase in flow in the next couple, 2 or 3 weeks.
So we won't have a pin in place.
There's no way.
We'll probably spill outside the wall again for a little while, but I think it's fine.
I don't know how much worse it really is without 9. I mean, looking at it the other day, I mean, your weed circulations are awful right at the dam, but once you get out towards the end of the wall, everything just folds right in. So I don't know if Bay 9 is really that much of a benefit relative to what we have right now. I don't know if it's an emergency situation to get that thing back.
Okay. Well, regardless, I don't know.
But I'm still working on getting it funded.
Yeah, regardless, we can't do it.
It's on our user list, unfunded request list, so it got...
It's a getting done, but
it's
not getting,
it's my highest priority right now as far as...
That back.
Oh, yeah.
No faster way to do it.
But, you know, it's me, not the rest of the people over there.
Cool.
Damn safety. A lot of competition these days.
A lot of projects.
2-7 is Bonneville trap location. I don't... Sean Tackley was going to draft an MOC, but we haven't provided. He hasn't been provided. Has anybody talked to him about that?
Yeah. I mean, this has been a while back, so I don't know what's changed. But you're talking about off the the south side of Powerhouse 2, SDE entrance down by SDE.
Yep. That trap's been moved, Gary.
Okay, what's the update, Ben?
It's in the new location that was okayed.
Yeah, I thought we were done with that.
I think we're
supposed to have like a picture and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, just found the paperwork.
Paperwork picture, see where it was. So if you can get that, awesome.
Okay. We can jump down to updates 3.2. Let's just go right to the midpoint.
You want to do midpoint? Awesome.
Yeah, let's do midpoint because in case, you know.
Put on your gloves, thank you. Oh, here we go.
I need to get an update.
Well, do you want to talk about Unit 11? Oh, wait a minute. You don't have a Unit 11.
Hold on. Do you want to start with you?
Sure, I haven't slapped anyone around for a while.
I know. So, Ben, we're gonna talk. Why don't we go ahead and do the Unit 11 update and then lead right into B2 midpoint?
Are you sure you want that?
Yes, ma'am.
It's not good. I mean, I don't have a date for us or for you. Ultimately, we have three folks from HTC out today because we're not sure what's going on. I mean, basically there's more, we're not meeting the tolerance we need.
Okay, hold on a sec. So did we do the what's it called, the load something charge?
Load rejection.
Induction.
Well, there's the heat test, rejection
no,
test.
The load rejection
none of that's
test.
Happened.
None of that's happened, okay.
No, we haven't made it to be able to do any of that because the unit's not balanced well enough to be able to do it. We're not sure why that's the case, and they're having folks out here today to go over with Mike, our engineer, on site to look at air gap issues and why we don't have the tolerance we need. It's basically, not that this means much, but you could have 10 1,000ths of a tolerance that we have 30. So that's significantly off our standards.
Bottom line is Unit 11's obviously not back.
No, it is not.
And it won't be back for a while.
That would be my guess, and I don't know what the while is, but until they get some better idea of what that needs addressing, we're not going to even get into those recommissioning tests like I had tried to coordinate last
time. Okay.
Awesome.
Well, whenever you get there, that should be fine. It's just a matter of getting there, and that's up to HTC.
Yeah, nothing will change. It's just the date. So
okay.
I'll let folks know as soon as we know something. Maybe at the end of today, these guys will come up with something.
Okay.
All right. So as we were going through this process of getting that coordinated, we're looking in the fish passage plan, and it states in the last year's FPP, this one, that you run B2 at the mid-range to lower end of 1%.
Right.
Yes.
And
it's been there for 2 years.
Right. It's been there for 2 years. So I guess one of the things that were brought up was Dennis was trying to push to get that move to the within the upper range of 1%. And you want to speak to that?
Well, Ben has some more information.
Ben has some information to go on that. What is it?
Yeah, I mean, I've spoken to the control room folks and what that actually means, and there's not a way for us to keep that where the verbiage says we want it without reprogramming the system, because for us to meet NERC requirements, it needs to be under automatic governor control, and it can't be. I mean, once we put it in auto, it wants to run at the upper end of 1% when possible. So if that's truly what everyone agrees to, then we need a pretty extensive reprogramming of our system to allow it to stay in auto.
Well, that's what the FPP, the FOP even says.
Yeah, we need to be there. We're not. I mean, I was dividing the unit flow, the powerhouse flow, by 8, not knowing that 11 was back, so we had 16.2 or so by 7. Now we're up to 17 or something.
We need to be down around 14.2, 14.3 to be in the mid-range right now.
And we're not.
And we're not. Yeah, we need to be there. And, well, that's if gas levels are low enough. They are.
Well, they're there right now, but this was contingent based on us being able to do it, and it turns out we are not. And so if you look back at the
form... Wait a minute,
the
for form, 2 years?
Look at the form, and it said we never really approved it. That's the problem. It says BP is concerned they need more, and then it's just approved. And it's like there's no tracking, there's no way to see what happened. So I'm not sure how we got to approval of that level.
You weren't here that day, and we approved it. It was awesome. You didn't pay attention.
Well, we did. And so we currently are telling you we cannot do it, and we're operating within the operating range of the project within 1%.
That happened last year as well. Just
nobody paid attention.
No.
Well, we had such high flows we were pegged.
So to operate in manual is not against the WEC NERC compliance. Correct?
That's what Ben...
It's what NERC, yes.
What Ben found the other day.
And it needs to be operated with an automatic governor for in the GDAS. So to reprogram
system
it...
System reliability.
Yeah, it's something I don't even know anything about. So,
so
you got the WEC NERC error,
or is that... No, I think it's totally... I don't know. What does it take?
What does it take?
What does it take? I have no idea.
How many days is it going to take to do it?
You mean to reprogram?
Yeah.
I'll have to find out. I don't know, and I don't know that even anyone on site knows. It's similar to our desire to reprogram to incorporate slow rolls, and that's been 2 years and counting to try and do that. So I don't know the cost, but I can certainly find out for everyone.
Okay, well, this is going to be a higher priority issue
than slow roll.
I mean, slow roll is a sturgeon issue, and it's important, but now we're into an ESA issue. We're killing fish based on the studies at Powerhouse 2 as we run at the higher, at the upper end of 1%. That's not where we want to be.
And it's not, it's more complicated than I can probably even understand or explain, but it, you know, we'll be there at times just by the way the system works based on head and everything else. We might be operating at the 50% of the 1%, but you know, the system's automatically doing it, so keeping it there is the problem.
This is kind of the Corps is telling me that we can't control our powerhouse.
Mm-hmm. Hal is in control.
Hal's in control, yeah.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
And it's becoming a bigger and bigger issue with us with operating reserves and then the WEC NERC compliance. Over the years, it's getting tighter and tighter and tighter.
Fine. Okay, then we don't have to get into that. I mean, those are federal issues, and those are, we have an ESA, and as long as we're starting to get constrained by some federal actions, then there needs to be a biological opinion written on that, so we're going through consultation. Can't just say, "Oh, it's a federal thing. We can't do it.
We can't do it." I think it says in the BIOP, it we have to comply with the WEC NERC.
It does.
Yeah.
In the BIOP.
Yeah.
Mm. They wrote it. Yeah. I guess.
I mean, it has to. It says flood control on the and the flood control compliance. Yeah. I think it's even in the FOP in the first paragraph, if I recall.
So it's going to make it automatic.
Well, then, comply.
They're automatic.
And so, I mean, we can look into the cost and what it costs to change the timeline and bring it back.
Right.
It's ridiculous to me that we can't control these turbine units the way that we can control these turbine units. And it's because it's with a WEC NERC thing, is it needs to be automatic and you need some flexibility. We'll have flexibility. You have flexibility from mid to low, and you have flexibility at the first powerhouse as well. So, you have flexibility. So it's just the AGC is the issue, and that just needs to be adjusted. I can't imagine that you can't adjust that.
Is that same thing true for operating at best operating point at Powerhouse 1, 2? You have to make that adjustment?
Yeah, I assume so. The same thing to allow that. But that's not, that shouldn't be AGC. That should be something above or beyond that, I would think.
Well,
unless people agree that that's an automatic where you go within the range of that. I can't imagine there's no way to adjust your AGC to allow
for that. No, I think there definitely is, Gary.
Yeah, but I would think so. I just can't imagine, because as units have problems, you would adjust those units. Another way you couldn't adjust that for all the units, all what's left, seven.
Yeah, from what I understand, it's strictly a programming. And,
right.
And, you know, it's just the history of it has been that they want a program to stay in the 1%, and they do, and they normally operate at the upper end unless, you know, the system balances things out in a you know, equation that's probably beyond me, but, you know, so by chance we end up where folks want them at times.
Right,
and
that's
then
what it
other
should
times be. We're at the upper end where we don't want to be anymore.
Right.
But no, I got the indication that it wasn't, that it was not possible. It's just that it needs to be in automatic control, and that would mean a reprogramming.
Okay, well, I just need to find out how long, what that takes, because that sounds ominous, but, you know, you can say that, but I've reprogrammed a lot of computers in the past, and it's not that big a deal, depending on.
Yeah, but no one uses DOS anymore.
So, Vern, what's the action item?
The action is for Ben to
actually, it is DOS.
Go through HTC and find out what it costs to reprogram and keep it in auto for
how long?
Low range. Yeah. And how long it'll
how
take?
How long will it take, and can we get this done to comply with the fish passage plan? But we all agree
well, then,
to.
Then yes. We did not agree to, but we may submit a change form if it turns out that
okay.
This
well,
is
that
a requirement.
Won't be agreed to.
I agree that would not be. I know. Who's the REOG member?
Save your paper. Already done. Yeah. This one you won't get quite the rollover you get on most of them.
Well, like I said,
well,
more to
no,
come.
And I think the other part of this that irks me a little bit is where's the report from Gilbreth on this? Because, you know, we're all talking about the effect, and the effect is, well, what is the effect? It sounds bad. I've seen bits of data, I've seen pieces of paper with the information on it, but what I don't have is an actual report from the Gilbreth's work out of Bonneville for
right.
2 years.
That'll be a rear situation.
I know, but I'm going
to get that report.
No. You heard the newest one, where the draft reports can be put on, but the final reports aren't being put on the Corps' website? You ever heard that one? That's a great one.
Is that
there's
like
a
wall one where they're put on? They're on the web page. Here they are.
They're being put on the Corps' archival website, which no one has access to.
So
okay,
they're having to work that.
That's a new one they're having to work out.
Oh, great.
I like that one.
There's been a lot of problems getting reports, but this one needs to be made available
yes.
by somebody in Portland District 2.
Consider it done.
And
I will delegate that.
I will take this on.
Delegate
make it so.
You know me. She's the one that gets all the stuff done.
She knows that computer stuff. It's like,
yeah,
no.
She could program that.
You make a good dictator, Bert. I got to say. You make a good life from this guy.
The slight problem here is that I heard the report was never written.
So we'll find out.
report.
I hate to pull Lyle off my decommissioning the juvenile monitoring facility.
Yeah, I think so maybe we should probably bring the stand back. It
depends on what's going on.
That's not actually
great.
I just think it'd be good to have that report.
See here.
Now I can go back to 321. John Day South has 4 fish passing plan required floating orifice and service speed.
That's just like
a
review.
What is this?
What did it have on the back?
They're looking for the historical moment.
Hey, you have
first time since 2008.
You want a pat on the back or what's
yes.
that?
Yeah, exactly. We got bragging we got
about time.
We got the optimal AWS discharge now.
Can you say something nice about the core? Now?
Well done.
Well done.
5 years.
You're welcome.
You're just beating the decadal time frame. You guys are well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
Done within his career.
Exactly.
Yeah, it took us only 4 years to overhaul the turbine.
It's on the south shore, everything's running now.
One down, two to go.
Yeah.
Oh.
Need money, too.
Retirement?
Decadal time frame I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
there you go.
All right, so we can skip the rest
okay.
of these. Because we're down to the Pinniped update, everybody. Mr. Stancil.
Yep, got some handouts for everybody.
Handouts?
Not for everybody.
So,
are they fish?
Does this include stuff in the past couple of days since we've seen a surge of adults?
Unfortunately, no.
Okay.
So what you've seen, if you guys get those weekly reports, this is nothing new.
What is the latest fish count? I didn't check it on the way over.
Yesterday it was like 19,000 something. 12,000 today, 4.6. We're
hitting like
8,000.
81,000.
Peak period.
81,000.
No.
That's it, Bonneville. So we're off the mark. What was it, 325K is the forecast?
It's been downgraded.
It's been downgraded to
2.
Put your 6 in this little handout, kind of shows you where we're at.
No, the forecast.
The forecast. Everybody got a copy of this thing? Send it down. See you, Mark.
There you go.
That's all right.
It'll come here.
Anyway, long story short. Stellar numbers up like they have been the last couple of years. California sea lion numbers low for the last 2 years, and continually low, lower than we've seen since 2002.
It could be storming now.
Predation, same thing. We haven't seen this low enough of salmon predation since 2002. If you look at California sea lions specifically, even lower than 2002, the first year we watched. It's making sense that stellars are taking over right now. I mean, the states, the back page table one shows how many sea lions the states have removed over the years. This year so far they've removed 10. That's about a third of what we've seen at the dam for California sea lions. So that's obviously having a effect on what we are seeing.
Yeah, words getting out.
Words getting out.
Not of that in and of itself.
But there's probably something to it too, that because we do have so many stellars in there, yeah, and they are getting comfortable coming in close to the dam, that they're, dare I say, having a pulling effect on these California sea lions. They just can't eat their fish in peace. So there's a combination going on.
Have you seen cleptoparrots?
Yes, that's exactly what's happening. They're lucky to take a head off and a couple bites before they've got four stellars on them. Yeah, and it's just a second.
Interesting, that's a little new.
So stellar predation is going up. Actually, this is the first year, I believe, stellar predation on salmon is higher than it is for California sea lions. So that's really surprising.
When they're doing their traps, are they getting stellars every so often in the cages as well?
Yes, they have permit to actually tag and brand 20, and they reached that last year. Yeah, or last year.
And are they taking the stellars and giving them a ride down to that story, or are they just releasing
them
back?
No, they're releasing them right in the project.
They don't want to give them a little ride? Make them
well, you know, it was such a traumatic effect for a couple of them. They put these GPS tags on as well. One of them took off and was last seen up in like Sitka area.
That's good.
Then we should do a little ride. I think that's more of a story and a nice shot.
Absolutely.
Several of the others, though, they just got off the trap and stayed right there. So
tell the driver to drive a little more erratically.
It's like with the Californians, the ones that have been here and know it's a good thing, they're going to stay, and if nothing's driving them off. So they're the same situation. That, as far as I know, the one that took off, we hadn't seen him and identified him before, so he was probably a new guy checking it out.
That's cool. Hell, this happens. Yeah. I want to drive back. This isn't fun. Yeah. The wind in my hair.
He was a quick learner.
So, and they've now put two traps up in the forebay.
Oh, they did?
Because there are anywhere from 2 to 4, depending on who you believe and what you see. But probably at least a couple of California sea lions, you know, between Bonneville and the Dalles. Still seeing one at the Dalles occasionally.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got maybe a call about that.
Yeah,
it's been delightful.
Right.
This estimated salmon consumption on the back page for 2012, is that projected out to the end of the run?
No, that's currently where we're at right now. It's obviously going to go up. You know, I was thinking I could give my ballpark estimate, but as you mentioned, this week we're getting another little push up, and we're getting a few more Californias coming in. Yeah. So, it's going to be under 1,000 certainly for the California sea lions. We might top 1,000 with the stellar sea lions. So it's still going to be the lowest we've seen for California sea lions.
Yeah, unless the run is really late and extended. Mm-hmm.
And these guys decided to stay around a little bit. We had a few years ago where they did that, but we've also had some years where they just took off. And we're getting that impression this year. The ones that are coming up, just they said, where are the fish? And they went back down. And
good.
They may stay a little longer. They may not. Who knows? Like everything else.
Yeah, they're on a timeline too.
They're going to be heading down the breeding grounds. Stellars may stick around a little bit longer.
Yeah. I'll talk to our hazers and see how they're doing too.
Which again is it's effective when the boats and the dam hazers are doing their stuff for
whatever it may be, a 6 hour period, yeah. We definitely see a drop in the take, but as soon as they're gone, within 30 minutes, everything's right back.
They're not done. Yeah.
Is there anything current on the delisting potential for Stellar's?
It's in processes. I don't know the details and stuff, but I keep hearing from Robin Brown. He says that it's, even if it goes through, it's going to be a couple year process.
Oh, yeah.
So nothing fast is going to happen with Stellar's.
And as far as the Californians go, are you suggesting that since the numbers are the lowest since 2002, is your professional assessment that they truly are, or that differential is just being redistributed through the tributaries? For example, all that you see down in Oregon City, they're all, you know, all the other tributaries that they're just kegged up, are they just being relocated, or is your suggestion that they're truly...
I don't have that information. There are a couple of branded animals that we can identify between some of these. You're talking just in the Columbia?
Yeah, just lower the river tributaries. Right. Is this like a typical predation problem, or just moving the problem to other places, or is the assertion that, in fact, there are fewer coming back, for example, to the mouth of the Columbia. They're not basically just hanging out in other tributaries where people aren't shooting them. And
again, as far as I know, it's not affecting the mouth of the Columbia. We're still getting the same number of California sea lions there. The ones that have been at Bonneville many, many years, those mm-hmm. are the ones, 50-some, that have been removed over the years for the most part. Mm-hmm. So they're not coming here, staying many days and whatnot, and not bringing as many recruits, I believe, mm-hmm. With them. Yeah. So there are still a few, but again, there was a small new guy that we saw just the other day, and he got hazed, I mean, directly with a rubber bullet and took off. Those little new guys that haven't been here, haven't taken too many fish and realized what a big deal it is, They're likely to be affected by this hazing and not come up again. So,
okay.
But getting to your question,
it's just whack mole. Are we just pushing them down at Bonneville?
I don't think we're pushing them down
everywhere else.
They are doing studies. The PSU is doing some studies at Willamette Falls. So there's at least some data there, and I haven't got it yet.
There's a bunch of them in there.
But I don't know if it's more or less than previous years, and if any of these animals that had been in Bonneville are down there. Well, that's what we can kind of figure out. For the most part, no. They tend to be. What would you call it? I don't know. The Bonneville animals tend to be Bonneville animals. The Willamette animals tend to be Willamette animals.
Okay.
So you got your Bloods and Crips, basically.
There's a couple that have been Willamette guys, like this year, that showed up at Bonneville, or actually just one. And the vice versa over the years, there's been one that was at Bonneville for a couple of years, and he's been seen at Bonneville for the last 5 years. Hmm. But
is the Stellar set to Willamette? Okay.
Not that I've heard.
Yeah.
And they're probably not getting pushed out. So I don't know if they're getting pushed out or not. I wouldn't say that they're just being pushed out of Bonneville and going elsewhere. I think it's a combination, to be honest, of the removal program, removing the worst offenders, and so many Stellars up at Bonneville. And I think they're just saying, this is just, it's too hard to get my quota of fish. So okay.
Well, late run made a difference too. I think
there
were some issues there. So we had a lot of things happen this year that would change this up. The key is that to move them away from Bonneville, that's the whole point of this. It isn't to worry about where they are in the rest of the system. And it's more just to keep sure that we're not disadvantaging these salmon as they approach and stage
of the band. Yeah. Fair, I agree, but it's just it's an interesting concept. If we're waving the freedom flag of success, are we succeeding, or are we just pushing the problem away?
You guys have a mission accomplished.
Yeah. Well, I'm just curious what the data says. That's
it already
all.
Is.
That's fine. Yeah. We're succeeding. Have a nice day. Good job.
Nice day.
Claim success and move on.
Any other questions for Mr. Stancil before he's done with his Pinniped report? All right, thank you. The next one is the research updates, and 3-1 is ODFW pike minnow electrofishing in the VRZs. Apparently, they've kind of been coming in when they shouldn't have.
No, that's not entirely true now, but they are out there until dusk. But there's been
they're
some concern
their time.
They're pushing it.
Because of the number of juveniles.
Electroshocking.
However, I was told that Gary Frederick said it was okay that they operate under their outdated Section 7.
You gave the okie dokie?
Nice.
What are you talking about? Electroshocking ODFW for pike minnows and their.
They need to maintain the distance away from the fish blade. They need to maintain the If they roll an adult, then they got to move away. If they roll another one, they're done.
What about juveniles?
I put the number of juveniles.
Juveniles, those are more adults. Those adults.
Who's keeping track of and overviewing when they do say we've got an adult or a juvenile or whatnot? Is somebody either from this group or somewhere else monitoring that?
They
saying,
are
hey,
self.
They are, yeah. That's why I kind of brought it up. Is just it wasn't necessarily that they were coming in at night. I guess it was more the evening hours, but they were here right when the run tended to start. We had 4,000 Chinook passing a day into the BRZ. Is that the wisest time to be going in there and electrofishing for pike minnow when you've got salmon passing? That's all I'm saying is it might be time to review those kind of
conditions.
You know, love conditions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what I was told is that that will all be included in the new biop.
God, what isn't going to be included in the new biop?
Fix it, Gary.
He said he talked to you guys, and rather than doing a reconsultation now.
Right, for the new consultation for this, for the pike minnow program, yeah. But the sense of that will take issue could be addressed right now. But my understanding is that they're still doing what they had agreed to do years ago. So if we're seeing something different or they're not adhering to those rules, then that's a different thing.
Yeah,
but if they're not adhering to, if they're adhering to those rules, then that's the way we sign up.
I think the concern is just the large numbers of salmon compared to the small numbers of pike minnow that they're electroshocking.
I think John Day had them in one zone that they had a real high number of juvenile salmon that they were hitting. I remember it.
And it doesn't
interesting that they're actually rolling juveniles. I mean, that's
pretty issue. They're doing it only like one or two days per year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Per two, I mean, one or two nights per year. It's not in a profound, you know, or extensive impact.
They're not getting
one or two nights.
Skidmore.
For a few hours. It's only a couple of hours.
Yeah, I talked to Skidmore about it. I said that I heard that there's some issues. And
we're talking like a couple, maybe 4 hours of shocking per year.
So let's find out.
Adhering to the regulations that they agreed to in the first place. So that's
right.
So I heard from Skidmore.
Scott, if you want to give John a heads up at maybe next FPOM, you can get an updater.
Sure.
Find out where we're at. My gosh, what that takes. So they have to report that. At the end of the season, right?
Well, the reports come out weekly.
Yeah, they have week.
Oh, do that?
Yeah, I'm putting week 19 on the website so that you guys can see what it looks like. So.
Well, are those reports posted to some?
I have no idea where they go.
Yeah, I haven't seen one in years.
Yeah, same here. Years and years and years.
Well, let's find out. Let's post them.
So she's putting one on Epiphone.
I was just going to put week 19. Hey, Bert,
can you make this happen?
Sure.
Put them on.
I will get them posted to the website.
Thanks, Sammy.
Sammy.
Yes, sir.
Anybody cares, they were doing the work at Bonneville on the evenings of the 25th and 26th of April.
Okay.
And they were here about 4 hours each time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Does anybody care?
It's more just their numbers that they got.
Right. Okay, so I highly recommend that chocolate cake. In case you haven't had any, because it's noontime, and we're not going to stop because we're almost done.
Thank you, so.
RCC update. What do you got?
What'd you break?
The moment you've all been waiting. Starting at Lower Granite, latest and greatest flows are at 101.5. Forecast 5 days out, they could go down to 91.4. 10-day back up to 98.2. At McNary, currently 338.4. 5 days out, 324.3. And then plateauing a little bit, 10 days out to 326.4. The Dalles, currently 346.5. In 5 days, it'll be all the way down to 318.4. In 10 days, back up a little bit to 326.5. Bonneville, currently 371.5, 5 days out, 325.4, and 10 days, 335.7. And I do have the SDP if people want information on any other projects, but that's all Tammy allowed.
Right.
Do you have a Twitter
like
136
characters?
I
really appreciate it, actually.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for the update.
Yes.
Bonneville, you got any updates? EPA?
Lights are on.
Lights are on at the moment.
At the moment. coordination forms.
Well, I was going to say, one follow-up. On that, do you predict the same kind of, we've been seeing like 3 or 4 hours a night of overgeneration spill in the snake. Do you see that happening for a while longer?
Well, I think we've had overgeneration spill, yes. The overgeneration spill, yes, not wind.
I was saying, how much longer do you expect to see that? A little bit longer?
3 more weeks. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you're switching from your winter. No, the heaters are starting to fall off. The air conditioners aren't turning on. You're in the transition zone.
Yeah. And so I've noticed there's been about 3 or 4 hours where most every spot where spill is shooting up.
Yeah, that's what it is.
No, I can just get that power off.
Is there something you need, Tom? Is there something you need?
No. I just wondering how much longer we can plan on this. It takes off some of the angst about low mo.
Why would you want to take that off?
I've got other things I want to focus my angst on.
I'm concerned if it.
If you want to focus more angst at you, Doug, I can.
No, that's
but
fine.
I don't want to spread it out anymore, you know?
Be a concerning lull if it were to drop off the concern.
Well, I've got Russ
like,
going.
What's going on?
Well, Russ and Paul are carrying the weight for me.
Are you the chair?
Oh, hell no. I've been the chair yet.
Who's the chair?
Paul.
You're vice chair.
Okay, we can, go to the number 5. There's a Bonneville Powerhouse 1 open geometry request from Dennis Schwartz, Chief of Maintenance and Operations.
No, it's done. Yes, it's not on that, sorry. What is it? What's the request?
The request is to operate Powerhouse 1 in open geometry to reduce the spill volume and bringing.
What you would like to see the language allowing us to load Powerhouse 1 units to best geometry when we have put Powerhouse 2 at the upper 1% and we are at the 100K spring spill level. We would then like the authority to bump Powerhouse 1 up to best geometry and then once Powerhouse 1 is back
once
to
you
the
get,
rest towards.
Okay, how about this? Once you get Powerhouse 2 that we can operate at midpoint constantly, then we're fine. As soon as you get that,
okay, I'm on with that too.
Yeah. Get the powers to us and take care of it, then we'll talk powers one. I'm not flip flopping on the other way around. Because I know how that goes. Suddenly, magically, powers one works and powers two languages cool. For 5 years. And I am playing that game.
Languages.
I played Scrabble last night.
Yeah. And he lost.
I lost. Some poor languages on me. Damn it. It's a word.
That brings us
that
down.
Yeah, I know what's the worst thing about it. Damn it! I had CAD, and she could just pull out languages.
So I think you did the rest of these. You did task group updates, or what?
No, we didn't do task group updates, but are there any?
Ben, do you have one for the VBSs or Sturgeon update?
No, nothing new.
So for the VBS task group, Verisich has been talking to the project, and we're looking to see if we can get a second VBS lifting beam. Mm-hmm. And I think John talked about it the last bit, are we doing that 2 crane operation for cleaning VBSs during our high debris. Mm-hmm. So we are pursuing that.
High debris time, low wind.
We'd have the Titan, the Titan can pick up the BBS, they'll just have to rush back in the game. But at least you'd have the Gantry and the Titan doing this. Yesterday that they now have to close the orifices. Is this right then? They have to close the orifices when cleaning the BBSs because the debris has been tripping the ERG?
No surprise.
Yeah, that's kind of, I'm trying to get that figured out, actually, because there's a couple ways we can approach it. We can just increase the frequency of the mechanical brush while we're cleaning VBSs, because it can run continuously or, you know, however we want to set it, or we can close orifices. But at some point, you know, you lose the effectiveness of clearing that gate well when you close the orifices.
Are you the back screen in?
The back screen is in whenever we can do it. It just depends. If we get into a wind situation, we can't.
Right, but if you have the back screen in and you close the orifice, then all that debris goes right back on the VBS.
Yeah.
not very effective.
So I prefer to have them open, and we've always done that up until we've tripped the ERG twice this year because of debris loading up the dewatering screens in DSM.
Yeah, run the cleaner.
Yeah, that's what I think is a better
okay.
approach to.
Okay.
Let's try it.
Give it a go. Give
as
it a go.
As you can, anyway.
Okay.
All right. AFF mods. John is.
He will get to that.
He's working. But he is working hard. Let's give him credit.
John?
He had a good job. Anything else that we missed? Need to go talk about?
I have a couple things, Bernd.
All right. Ben.
There is a need for us to have, they're doing some work on the SQ outages over at Powerhouse 2, which are the electrical panels. It needs to be done in June, and it basically has to happen before Gantry 7 comes down. I think it's relatively minor, but one of the outages is, well, one of them is for Unit 11, which at this point is not an issue. The other one is for June 12th for, it would take out two units, 13 and 15. They would do it at night per our request, and it would be out for about 3 hours. If by chance 11 is back by the 4th, we would have a similar request for 11 to be out after dark for the same duration, 3 hours, but at this point that's not looking likely.
So it's 11 through 15. So you said, Ben?
13.
It's no, actually, it's the bank that would take out 11 through 15, but they can reroute all but 13 and 15, so it would really just be the two units.
And when were you thinking of doing it?
June 12th, whatever hours we tell them, evening, dark, for 3 hours. Well, I mean, they'll do it during the day if you let them, but they just told them most likely it would be required at night.
I'm just debating which is going to be. I don't think it matters.
I don't think it matters that much, honestly.
Really? If I get so many entrances at that powerhouse, it's the poorest, most poorest powerhouse for adults in the
Yeah. And honestly.
18's running?
Yeah. 18 would be on.
Yep.
Voting orifices are all on.
13 and 15.
Well, 12 and 18, we're only losing 13 and 15. It's just for a 3 hour window.
And depending what 11's doing.
Right.
Not an issue. I wouldn't do, maybe not do it like first thing in the morning, but
after
stay away from that those first few hours.
Yeah, anytime after, say, like 10 or 11, I'd be fine with.
Yeah.
Okay. I would let them know.
I do have a question for August. There's a chance with transmission outages and project outages that there'll be a period of time when unit 11, there won't be any units on in the second powerhouse. For
including fishing?
Yeah.
What?
This is new.
Well, I'm just getting wind of these in August. We're going to only have one unit available. Because 11 is the only one that has screens out. The other seven are out anyway.
Okay, so it's out. Okay.
So there's an outage that's going to take unit 11 out as well for, I think, a total of 5 days. And then there's going to be all the fish units out for a period of time as well.
Can you find out how long?
I'm working on...
August?
Yes.
August.
Yes.
Bad time. That's...
Well...
Just came to him.
I mean, really bad. It's like don't know. You got your answer.
Well, the thing is, if we're gonna have all seven units out anyway, so the most you could ever have on there is one unit and
I'm
more worried
about
fish units.
Yeah,
but
because late August you can just have some.
Dennis, didn't he say it would be okay with the flows?
No, you take the fishing nets out, we can't maintain the
water.
No,
absolutely.
Even
not.
A step plate in that.
No,
okay.
Not without the old
ice and crash. That will be
the additional peak. I was going to say, isn't that usually close to peak of all Chinook?
Mm-hmm.
it's pretty high.
But there won't be much flow over there is the problem. You're going to have...
Oh, you're hoping for this.
You could have no flow over there if you want.
Yeah, so a lot of fish. So much yeah. fish in the river.
Well, there'll be a lot of fish, but you'll have them go through the spillway and through the first powerhouse. You won't have almost no flow over there because you only have one unit at the most. So split flow will be
really,
one unit.
Really bad to take something like that out of service that time of year. I don't care how much flow is over there. I mean, you have fishway flow, you have fish going over there. It would make those units better. Yeah, the whole thing would not, you just wouldn't have passage.
Can't wait to end water work for you.
Right. What's the reason?
The transformer works they're doing needs to be done then.
Can the audits of what is off to work?
Well, that's what I'm going to look into more, but I think it's the, some of the dry issues.
It's going to be a dry issue anyway. So.
Any plan?
Hey, if you guys can plan for a delay of adult passage, I can plan for a dry winter July.
But you got to...
In Arizona.
How long again? How many hours?
It's 5 days.
Well, 5 days for the units, and then 5 days for the fish units, too? Mm.
I think it's an overlap of that much.
At what point would the term "hell no" come into this? Because if I told my guys, oh, by the way, because I mean you're going to piss off my samplers up just a teeny bit. Oh yeah, 5 days you're not going to be able to sample for fall chinook. Awesome. And I'm going to tell my tribal fishermen, oh, by the way, we're going to have that whole ladder down. That's not a problem. No.
Well, more to come on this.
He's not taking that.
I'm sensing
he's saying
that.
I'm telling you.
Wow, why do I feel like I'm talking to my 5-year-old? Of my gun, I can't say 5-year-old, 10-year-old.
This is the same bad time.
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
Hey, Bern?
I'm noticing that.
Yes, Ben?
I just had one more thing. I don't know if you're done with that topic or not.
it's approved. I got it.
Listen, Scott's going to come by next
the notes will not say that's
approved. Yes, they will.
Scott's going to come by next month to tell us why it will be approved. So.
Yeah.
Go, Ben.
No, it's just Tom reminded me with his reference to tribal fishermen. I just thought I'd let folks know. I don't know who knows, but at the Washington Shore, we've got at least 3 new fishing platforms right at the entrance, and more being built as we speak. These are new as of Monday.
They're 150 feet from the entrance.
They are 150 feet, and they're catching fish about a dozen per hour from the one platform alone.
I was trying to decide whether I wanted to bring this up or not. I'm glad you did.
Don't.
Now I won't get accused. But we are looking into this with our harvest folks right now.
You go chit-chat with them all you want. TAC is working on trying to get a uniform code for fisheries.
Who?
With the TAC.
Who? Yeah. Well, the guys that predict 360,000.
Hey, you have a TAC rep too, so you're going to keep smacking your own guys? Awesome. Yes. Great. Yes. Yeah. So yes. when you keep landing those punches, and how's it feel in your right jaw too? Good. So TAC supposedly is working with the states and has come up with, they're trying to get more of a uniform, trying to come up with uniform regs for fishing locations from adult interests, projects, and that kind of stuff. I don't think they've solidified anything, but they are aware of this. I notified our guys that there was this going on, and they said, yes, we're working on it. Take that with whatever grain block of salt you want.
I think the issue here is debris and stuff getting in the ladder as much as the harvest side of it. They're too close.
Hey, and stuff. Talk to your boys then.
I am.
Well, then good. Then you've done your due diligence.
I'm not done.
Oh, God.
I'm not done.
Oh, I know.
I'm not even started.
I don't want to know.
I'll be out there tomorrow.
You have fun. You take all the pictures you want.
What are you going to do about it?
They're on Google Map right now.
What are you
going to
do about it?
Yeah, I'm going to go tell the fishermen to move their platforms.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'll be right on that. That's just like yesterday.
Lars will tell the fishermen to move their platforms upstream of the ladder. Actually.
Nice.
Thank you.
Do you have, weekly briefings with the tribal fishermen?
Monthly.
They're monthly.
Yep. Right now, they are in criteria. They are 150 away from the entrance, and that is currently what is backed out. That's allowable.
Whose criteria is that, Tom? Do you know?
Yeah. Let's see. There was, actually, I think the FPP has 150, isn't it? No activity?
100.
100, so they can even go 50 feet closer, so be happy they're 150 feet away.
I think it's a little bit complicated because at John Day we have a line where the public fishing was not allowed, and now we have platforms there, a few people pushing those platforms beyond that line, and that was for the protection of fish passes.
Well, how's that line too? We need to move that line up.
Well, I'll bring this back to a regulatory who's Mike Taraski is the point on that, and he's been dealing with all the travel platform issues since they started showing up, especially the ones in Drano. And so
these are on, you know, beyond the government property, no trespassing signs. And they're, you know, according to the regs we have in hand, if they wanted to, they'd put themselves 25 feet, is the regs they give themselves. So I guess we're lucky we have a log boom there, because that's what stopped them at this point.
I think we need about 10 log booms, and they just need to keep going up the river all the way to the bridge.
Enjoy. Do whatever you want. I'm going to try.
So these are on the exits, above the exits?
Yeah, these are above the... I mean, what I'm worried about is debris and just stuff getting in there. Ben says he's got a picture of fish for sale sign going down through the ladder past the count window. So that's
that's where I saw that.
I'm going to be using that as one of my props.
That's especially. Amazing.
Yeah. Where did this come from, I wonder? Hmm.
Yeah.
Is this the exit or the...
I think I know.
Cascade Lock.
Yeah. It came from the tribal fisherman upstream or somewhere.
Yeah, Cascade Lock.
I don't know. But I know where
it is. I mean, John Day is almost isn't worth it. It's just a few platforms, and, you know, why argue about that? I mean, there are so many other areas which fishing is successful, so it seems like it's pushing the limits for no reason. It's actually, to me, would indicate a disorganization, that we don't have rules in place and we have few... stray people who can do whatever they want to instead of...
I will bring it to Mike Jaraski's attention. This is not
the sea lion's fault.
This is not an FPOM issue.
It's not an FPOM. You do not want to have debris.
It is an FPOM issue if you guys are using the 150 that's in the Fish Passage Plan as the limit.
Well, that's what Yakimas have that in their regulations.
Yeah, but that's...
So in their regulations. But does the Corps have it?
Yeah, we don't
include
it.
I
can't answer that.
You do not.
I know that Mike is on top of it, and he's constantly talking with
Government to government, inland site, access site issues, not FPOM. I would strongly suggest you don't even think about bringing it here.
No, I mean, we can just talk what our impact on fish runs would be, debris in the ladder.
Well, you got the construction.
So anything else, Bern?
Yeah.
We got this one handled.
You guys can take this.
What number are we on?
I'm the end.
Well, I don't expect you to go west.
Wrap it. Thank you. So, here you go,
I just went in from like the thing. Like, what does the Rams guy say? Washington, or is it there? I understand he's got his own, but just pragmatically, you have to have some room. You can't just walk on site. I mean, I understand the cultural influence, but I'm trying to learn that. I think there should be some standards.
I just want that one guy.
Then nobody would care. Then all of our everything would go away. I hope the job would go away.
Gary,
I'm North American.
You're gonna try to
liability
fish passage plan and maybe around 2:45 or something.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the guys that make sure your transmission can stay online. You have to work with them.
That's not what was written down.
That's not what's written down. But that's what I heard Scott say.
Questioning if Mary spilled to fix the alcohol pipes.
Say that before you get done with stuff.
12:17.
It's still above 40 is exactly what I thought I heard you say. Yeah. Well, so they're just...
But no reduction in spill.
So a reduction below the uncontrolled levels. So instead of spilling uncontrolled levels, it's still the 40.
No, I'm saying spill.
No, we used to have.
I know, I can't find it.
So the spill.
Hey, Greg. The misinterpretation is that what Scott was telling you is we're not going below the court orders still, but they will be reducing the endurance area.
No, I did a search for 100 feet.
See, that's what
I show up at noon, we're not working. I'm
going in there tomorrow to talk to you.
If not, I'll show up at noon on Tuesday.
But I don't see restrictions anywhere.
Do it then. Let's do it Monday.
Well, Keith finalizes tomorrow.
I've shut it
back even on...
I'll tell that even to Robert.
I don't think it's...
Yeah, I know. I'm picking them up.
For the goals I saw out there at the outfield. I just don't think it's worth it, because I think they can be handled with the guys doing the hazing.
My note was first,
until the river does come down. I don't think that can.
Well, my wish are you for that. So I said I'd be there at noon. I understand. I'll be there at noon.
No, it's...
We can't. We have to be there.
So it's water management. It's going to handle the water management so that it's going to be what
it says. I'm fine with that.
So there's a Sympatec that's already in the bypass line, you know, the one they typically use. We're going to put a Sympatec below that. And then we're going to measure I kind of knifed my way in. Otherwise, I'll go into the game. So, yeah, it should be fun. And then we have a third way.
I'm not doing the drive-backs every day.
I heard something about them.